ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗൗറി ശിഷ്യ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ് ഓൾ ഗൗറി ശിഷ്യയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോമിഷപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം വാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനനിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാം ദിയം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുധാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സ്വദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം സഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹജനലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാം ച നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്ജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിത ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാപ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാ വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനൂഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവ ഭൂമേ സ്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമഃഭാവധന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നീ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തിരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രിയം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതം സുരദൗപാംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമതേർഗതി മത്സർവസവദാം ഭോജൌ രാധാമദനമോഹനവും ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവൗ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിസേവ്യമാനൗ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേ സ്തുനാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രീ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാരം ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So last Saturday we have started discussing, as we mentioned before, that what Krishna expects from the devotees. Devotees whom Krishna likes. That's what the next 10 verses are. Everybody likes Krishna, but whom Krishna likes is different. That's a different issue altogether, isn't it? So, the remaining verses from now on, that is from verse 13 onwards up to 20th, these 8 verses is the verses which whom Krishna likes, the devotees who have got these qualities. There is a big misunderstanding about these verses from now on. Most of the times we have this we have thought that these qualities, what Krishna has spoken there in this verses, they are meant for they're meant for cultivation, for devotees to cultivate them. Actually, all these verses is not the individual's quality. That's the first thing to understand. Adveshta sarvabhudanam, that's how those verses begins, isn't it? Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nishchaya mayarpida manobuddhir yomal bhakta samepriya yasmano dujade logo onwards logano dujade chaya harsham harsha bhayo dvage muktoya samepriya. Like that it goes. So practically these qualities cannot be cultivated. This is the first thing to understand, because most of us are thinking that we will people started running courses on these qualities as well. It's the greatest mistake that they're making. It is not like that. It doesn't work like that. Why these qualities does not manifest in a person? That is why we have to know first. We are not fighting to develop the qualities. What is stopping us from these qualities developing inside, we have to know. Actually, what it is that so long as our false ego is in, the false ego is the beginning of everything. It is from this false ego that the everything manifests. So practically you can see that these qualities are already there in the prakriti, in the material nature. Material nature has got these qualities in them, and it will come to us, but our ego won't allow that to get in. It's the ego that is working against that. So the solution is how to free the ego from inside. That is the answer to this question. Individually, if you try to think that, because it is not something to happen in the brain, you see, qualities are not supposed to happen in the brain, just to happen from the consciousness. From the consciousness it has to come. And what is blocking those qualities to happen is our individual false ego. That is vyaktitvam or individuality, personality, whichever way we want to. It's all one and the same. Jiva ahanda, jiva's living entity is false ego. That's what is blocking that. So, so once the individual moves away, or in other words, false ego goes away, these things will naturally come in that person. That is how it happens. Suppose if we try to cultivate, you are again cultivating with the false ego. Then I am going to I'm going to develop this quality. It will come in behind that. So it won't work. It will not work. You will plan everything in your head, but when the time comes, the whole thing will collapse. You will do what you like at that time. Your consciousness from inside, the modes of nature will dictate which way you are going to act. That's why it said like that. Advaishta sarva. That is one important thing we have to remember about these verses from now on. Up to this point, Krishna has spoken about bhakti process, is it not? What is bhakti? Krishna has explained when it from the verse second two onwards, Krishna was talking about that. What is bhakti means, isn't it? Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahankara samadukham sukhakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drida nischaya mai arpita mano buddhir yomal bhakta samaye priyaha. So those two verses we were looking at. In there we have seen what advaishta means, isn't it? We have talked about that also. Advaishtam, advaishta sarva bhudanam, we have discussed that in the last class. Advaishtam. So how different devotees, we looked at the examples of so many devotees starting from Mahabali onwards. Mahabali in his pastimes, he has shown what does that mean, that how surrendering to Krishna, how to surrender to Krishna. He has spoken about that. We spoke about Tyagaraj also, how his life was centered around this same principle of surrender. And Krishna mentions there that in those verses where he also spoke about the that different devotees, how they have lived in this world, freedom from that ego inside, by which they have been able to surrender to Krishna at different times in the history, all the time. That's what's seen there before. So there also we have seen that the jiva, out of his false ego, it finds difficult to surrender. And that is why Krishna mentions there that shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, there we see that in the last verse, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyagal shandiranandaram. How jnanam or knowledge is important in all aspects of spiritual life. Jnanal abhyasam combined with jnanam. Dhyanam combined with jnanam. And that jnanam in dhyanam leads to karma phalatyagam. And from that karma phalatyagam shanti comes. Krishna spoke about all that things. So later on we have also seen that few examples we gave there. That we also saw that relationship with Krishna and Sudama, how they related each other. Sudama's state of consciousness was total shanti, isn't it? Perfect shanti inside. Sukhabrahmarshi mentions that in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Krishnasya sil sada kaschil brahmano brahmavittamam viraktaha indriyarteshu prashandalma jidendriya. So first, Sudeva Goswami begins talking about these qualities of Sudama so that people don't misunderstand about Sudama. People generally think the last story is very good in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because Sudama was so poor and he went to Krishna. Krishna gave him a lot of money and sent him home. So people started thinking like this, and a lot of people, they talk about it in this way, that poor people, they should go to Krishna. Krishna will give you plenty of money. So, but in order that such a misunderstanding don't come about Sudama, in the very beginning itself, Sukadeva Brahmarshi spoke like this. Krishnasya sil sada kaschil sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittamaha. He was a brahmana, is a brahmavittama, is a brahman, realized personality. Then viraktaha, totally detached from this world. Indriya arteshu, no kind of sense gratification. Prashandalma jidendriya. These are all the way Sukhabrahmarshi presents Sudama to the world. So there itself you can see that he had no interest whatsoever in this world. That is why when you see when Krishna and Sudama met each other, Sudama had no changes. Krishna was the person who has affected by Sudama's state of consciousness. That Krishna says there also about that, about Sudama's consciousness, he mentions there. So that is Advaishta. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. We also spoke about Jnanasambandha's situation, that in the age of 3 years, how he, in his relationship with Sri Parvati and Shiva, how he was given that milk of knowledge which has changed him. Ambarish Maharaj's story in the Bhagavadam, Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. He mentions there, isn't it? In that, Krishna mentions about Ambarish Maharaj, Sadhunam Hridayam Mahyam Sadhavo Hridayam Mahyam Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. There, that is another incident, all to explain about, that's all what we have talked about in the last classes. And we also seen there that the various levels in a devotee, how we move away from our previous bodies while coming to this human body, how we bring our vasanas with us. The result of those vasanas will follow us through in this life also. Even if we want to free ourselves from the impact of those vasanas, it will always give us a lot of difficulty. So anyway, after that, Krishna mentions there that that quoting from the Kapilavasudevs and Devahuti Devi conversation, you will see that Aham Athamam Sarvabhudeshu, Kapilamashi says to Devahuti Devi, that unless you see inside all living entities Krishna's presence, otherwise it is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Athamam Sarvabhudeshu Mudalmanam Kradhalayam Maitriya Abhinyena Chakshusha, he says there. Maitri, Abhinyena Chakshusha, that is what Maitri is about. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra, Maitra Karuna Vevaja. That Maitri, if you want to understand that, in the third canto you will see, he explains that to Devahuti Devi. What does Maitri means? Athamam Sarvabhudeshu Bhudalmanam Kridalayam. Then, Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitriya Abhinyena Chakshusha. How that Maitri will build up in a person will happen when these things are followed. That means, in order to develop Maitri, false ego has to go from inside. False ego comes it obstructs, it blocks the developing Maitri towards others. So that's what he's saying here. Then, Athamam Sarveshu Bhudeshu Bhudalmanam Kridalayam Arhaye Dhanamanabhyam Maitriya Abhinyena Chakshusha. There he explained that which we have also discussed in the last Saturday. And then Maitri was spoken about, and then we have seen the interesting story about that surrender. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitri Karunam Evacha Nirmamaha Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. Ramanujacharya's story we talked about, how Ramanuja and his disciple, that old Brahmana, how he was willing to serve his spiritual master under any circumstances. Whatever he wanted, he was willing to offer him. That is that Maitri. Maitri is like that. That is how it is offered. So, whatever by doing that, the spiritual master is satisfied, he was willing to do that. So, here, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sukhakshami. Sarvabhudanam Nadveshtaha, he says. No dvesham or anger or hate towards anyone. Advaishtaha Sarvabhudanam. Because if there is no hate towards anyone, it means there is no ragam or attachment also towards anybody. If there is no attachment anywhere, there won't be any hate also towards anybody. Raga dvesham is exist in everyone, but if there is no ragam, raga means attachment, and dvesham means aversion. If there is no attachment, there won't be any aversion. Similarly, if there is no aversion, there won't be any attachment either. So, after saying all these things, Krishna, at the end of this chapter, Krishna says, Yedu Dharmyamrtam Idam. That's how he concludes this chapter. Dharmyamrtam. Dharmyamrtam is the word he has used, because only one who knows Dharmam, he can get rid of Ragadvesham from inside. That is the principle. That unless you know Dharmam, you won't be able to remove ragam and dvesham from inside. You can talk a lot about it, but it won't go from inside till you know what dharma is, isn't it? So that is the relationship between ragadvesham and dharmam. So what is dharmam? Dharmam is this: what is good for others, that has to be done. Hitam. That's another word that is called as hitam. If I do that, then that is dharmam. Because if you think that what somebody may like certain things, certain like things, that is priyam, that he likes something like that. Sometimes it may be dharmam, but sometimes it may not be. Sometimes it may not be dharmam. It could be adharmam also. So this ability to discriminate this between dharmam and adharmam, it is not something to please somebody that you do something. It is what is right thing to do, one has to do it. What's the right thing to do? One has to do it. So just like you can, some people when some guests come, they are used to drinking coffee and tea. And suppose you have to offer them coffee and tea, would you call that a dharmam? That is not dharmam. That is adharmam it is. You have to offer them what is good for them. That's what it is. Because they are habituated to something, doesn't have that, we have to accept that. That is not dharma. That's not dharma. Sometimes it is possible that somebody who has got diabetes or something like that, you give them a lot of sweets and tell them, please have it. That's not dharma. That's adharma it is. That's adharma. So, just because you like him, that person, doesn't mean that you have to give him all that things. So, that you may be doing out of the love or affection for that person. Affection for that person. But it is not doing anything good to him. So this we will learn from life one day or the other. That is how the life works properly. Dharmam, tyagam or sacrifice. So we talked about this. These things has to be very carefully done, very carefully done. Because normally our selfishness won't allow that to happen. Selfishness will tell us that what is the use of all these things? Lord, everybody says like that in this world. We have lived in this world. What is the use? suppose you have lived for the sake of the world. What is the use from that? And there are so many instances in the history people have shown to us that that's the only thing that is worthwhile. Living a selfish life in this world is not going to take us anywhere at the end. At the end, it will create a lot of problems, because that you have to study the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna talks about that. We'll come to that later. So, how? Yam yam vabhis maran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram tam tam evaidhi gaundaya sada tadbhava bhavida. Krishna says there, isn't it? Why this selfishness, what problem it creates is that Krishna is saying there that at the time of death, whatever thoughts comes in, that will decide the next body. It will decide the next body. Or in other words, practically to remove all the sangalpam from inside. People have this misunderstanding that I will think about Krishna at the time of death and everything, I'll get through the problem. That is not how it works, because you have not understood that verse properly. That is the problem. Two verses are there in the 8th chapter. Andhakaleja mameva smaran tektva kalevaram ya prayasa madbhavam yadi nastyatra samshaya. Krishna says, at the time of leaving the body, smaran tektva kalevaram, if you remember me, don't misunderstand that refers to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not how it is. It has to be, this is the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. Often we misunderstand things like that. Yam yam vabhi smaran bhavam tejatyandi kalevaram tam tam evedi kaundaya sada tadbhava bhavida. Krishna is saying there that at the time of death, if you have freed yourself from the influence of the body, and you are completely situated on the platform of the soul, and then if you give up the body in that state, what will happen is you will attain a spiritual status. You will come to become a spiritual entity. If not, if you think that I will just remember Krishna, it doesn't work like that. Because I'll tell you what the problem is. Problem is this. We are doing sadhana every day. We are doing sadhana every day. And the sadhana what we do is depending on our intelligence, isn't it? Intelligently we are doing it. So in other words, when the intelligence goes away, sadhana also will go. And what will happen before death is, intelligence will go first. Before death, intelligence will fail. And once the intelligence has failed, then all your plans also fail. Your memory is gone. You won't be able to plan anything. You may plan today, but at that time, it won't happen at the time of death. And that is such an important thing, the critical moment in life when we have to leave this body. So at that time, what you have planned today with intelligence won't, because intelligence itself is gone. You are completely under the control of the modes of nature at that time. So all the planning now will fail at that moment because memory would have gone by then. You may not even think that, oh, I have thought about this at that time. All those thoughts, what thoughts will come? Nobody can say anything. What will come is, whatever sankalpam you have created inside, in your own thoughts, various sankalpam will be there, various resolve, various thoughts must have happened at different times. And they all would have taken some strong position inside the mind. So at the time of death, they will come. That's what will happen. Generally, that's what happens. Externally also, you can't do anything about it. You can see this in the Bhagavadam. When Bhishma was giving up the body, Krishna came there with the Pandavas. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Dhaumya, they all came together. When they came there, you know what Bhishma told Krishna? Bhishma says to Krishna that it's good you have come, but that's not good enough. In my thoughts you have to come, not outside. Dhyana bada chaturbhujaha, and it says in the Bhagavadam. If you look Bhishma Stuti, you will see there. Just because you appeared there, because once you open your eyes at the time of death, as soon as you open your eyes, so many things you will see. And when you see different things, different sankalpam will develop inside according to whatever you have thought about in the past. They will all come back at that time. So Bhishma says there, Dhyanabada Chaturbhuja, Dhyanabadam, that means in my meditation you have to come, he says to Krishna. So problem is this, that at the time of death, nobody can say what will happen. Krishna is saying there, Yamyam vabismaran bhavam tejatyande kaleparam sandam evaidikaundeya sada tadbhava bhavidaha. As soon as Krishna spoke about remembering him, when Krishna says remembering me means remembering about the soul. The soul is Krishna. And remembering in that spiritual consciousness, if you leave the body, you will go back. You won't come back again with another material body. But if you relieve this body in material consciousness, any thoughts, doesn't matter, still the possibility that you will come back. There's a possibility of coming back. So that is why, just like you can see, various people, they, according to their attachment in this world, they will develop certain thoughts inside, sankalpam inside, and that will come back at the time of death in some form or the other. So, what did Krishna say? Krishna saying, after saying that verse, immediately after that Krishna says, although by remembering me and leaving this body, you will not come back here. Immediately the next verse he says, but whatever you are thinking inside at that time, yamyam avismaran bhavam tejatyande kalevaram, if you give up the body in that state, tam tam evaidi kaundaya sada tadbhava bhavida, you will automatically develop that form in the next life. If any devada or any form, if you have thought about at the time of death, you will naturally come take up that form at the time of death. Take up that form. This taking up form is a very interesting thing in the sense that, say for example, one who has lived in a strong, very attached family life, very attached family life, and there will be a strong attachment to different persons at home in different ways. Mother, father, brothers, sisters, husband, wife, children, all sorts of places there will be attachment. If ever there is some sankalpam centered around any one of them inside, the possibility that you have to come back there again to get rid of that vasana. So that means you have to accept another body in relationship with the same family again. With the same family again. And that is why Krishna, that bhavam, Krishna is saying that, yamyam abhismaran bhavam. That bhavam inside, with that whatever bhavam you have, with your attachment to anybody in that matter for this world, if you give up the body, tantam evedi kaundaya sada tadbhava bhavida, in that bhavam, you have to come back to that situation again to continue with the life further. So, therefore, giving up the body is a big science, as Krishna explains in that chapter, in the 8th chapter. That will come to that later. But Krishna is mentioning here, Adveshtaha sarvabhudanam maitraha karunyam evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma drada nishchaya mai arpita manobuddhir yomal bhakta same priya. Our emotions and feelings keep changing all the time. We talked about this story before. Patanathar was a famous businessman, pearl merchant. He got involved in the pearls business. And he had, he sent his son to do business with his other friends, business friends. They traveled to other countries abroad by ship in those days. They went away and they all did a lot of business. So Patanathar was a businessman. He wanted his son to develop the business qualities. Same quality he wanted him to follow. Patanathar was going to change for him. Subramanya came as his son and taught this lesson to him. That he went away and so when they came back, because those days the way of doing business was different, isn't it? They used to travel long distances. And after months together, they will spend in other countries and then they will come back by ship. That was the system there. People used to travel all over the world by ship and do business in that way. So when they came back after many months, Patanathar asked his friends, how good is my son in business? They all told him he's nonsense. He's just useless, he said to him. He couldn't do any business, he said. It was totally waste of time. So at the same time, they had no children. Patanathar had no children. He was very attached to his son also at the same time. So when they came back from business, first thing he did was he embraced his son and showed all his affection and attachment to him. And then after some time, he inquired from his business friends, how did he do in business? So they told him that he was no good at all in business. When he heard that, he got very angry. Few minutes ago, he was so happy. And in a short time, the whole thing changed. When he realized that he couldn't make any money, he was not doing very well. He got very angry with him. When he got angry with him, the son, Patanathar's son, told him that, I'll give you what I have brought with me, saying that this cow dung, dry cow dung, there was a large number of bowls on that. He made bowls like that and threw it in front of him and he walked away from there. The son walked out from there. So Patanathar thought, what has gone wrong with this man? I'm trying to bring him up and he was the inheritance of this huge wealth empire he has built up in that way. So, you can see here, that when he threw that the cow dung there, when it broke open from there inside, a lot of very expensive jewels came out from there. It was covered in all this cow dung. And immediately he changed again. He became so happy. Seeing, this is how people are, isn't it? Especially people who are very attached to that wealth. Initially he got upset. That he felt happy by seeing the son when he came back. Next moment, when he found out that the son was very no good at business, like his friends have told him, he got upset with him. Next moment, son gave away all these expensive jewels, which was completely covered in cow dung, and gave it to him. And when he saw the expensive jewels, he felt very happy with the son. And he started again hugging him and giving him all his affection and love. And that by then son is left. Then he goes back to his wife and asking him, where is our son? He says, he left a box here and he has gone, he said. So then he asked her to bring the box, and they brought the box and opened it. Inside there was a broken needle inside. And a message there saying to the father, son is saying, my dear father, when you leave this world, you won't be able to even take this broken needle with you. Why are you so much affected by all these things, what's going on in this world? So that's how he mentioned. So, and that few times these changes that has happened, that he realized it, that this is all nonsense, this what is. And that is when he threw out everything, threw away, and he walked out from the house. Walked out from the house. While leaving, the manager comes up to him and says to him that you are leaving, decided to leave, that's okay, but what should I do with all this? He was a very loyal and honest manager. So I asked him, what should I do with all this wealth? He said, don't ask me, just throw it away in the street. People can take whoever they want and I'm not bothered about it, he said. And then he walked away from there. Now, prior this thing incident happened, Patnatar used to go to the local king, often visit him, and give him a lot of presents to him. And king used to sit in his throne, and Patnatar, because they had this income tax problems and all that, generally that's how it is, isn't it? So big business people, they entertain the government officials to free themselves from the income tax. It's happening then, it's happening now also. It's not much different. It's the same thing. So nothing has changed in this world. Everything is exactly the same. Done in different ways, that's all. So Patnatar used to go and give expensive presents to the king, and king never used to give him much trouble on his income. Otherwise, those days the kings had a lot of power to get what they want from these business people. They'll send the army and lock him up if they want. They could do that. That was the situation then. So anyway, Patnatar used to be like that. And now Patnatar has thrown away everything. He doesn't have to pay any income tax anymore. So he goes away, and in that famous temple in Chidambaram, he goes and sits there in one of the big towers underneath that with the bowl in the hand, begging bowl in the hand. The king came to know about this. And he thought, what has happened to this Patnatar? Why has he done this? So he goes to see him. And when he went to see him, Patnatar sat there, didn't get up even. He sat there. And king goes up to see him and told him that, why have you done all these things? Is it necessary to throw away everything like this and take this kind of life? So Patnatar says to him, what has changed then? King says, what has happened to you? What has changed in your life? Patnatar says, what change has happened in my life is, before I used to come to see you and you used to sit, I used to stand up. Now you come and you stand there, I am sitting here, he says. This is the change that has happened in my life. This is what Vairagyam brings in life. Vairagyam opens up inside. Outside nothing will happen. So many things may happen, but inside that change is noteworthy taking. What happened inside? That knowledge has opened up. The eye of knowledge has opened inside. Started seeing things in the proper way. Otherwise, it is illusion. Maya is showing to us something. So, that able to give up that false ego from inside. That was the greatness of that merchant, Patnatar. He was able to give up everything in one stroke. Throw away the whole thing. Because ego will from inside will tell us, I am somebody in this world. I have so much wealth. I am so close to the king. And that relationship matters to them. And all this was there. But when Subramanya came as the son and told him this, it had hit him straight away. He sensed that. You never seen Subramanya after that. He left and walked out from home. Never came back again. And that was a special mercy from Subramanya to Patnatar. But what I'm saying is the principle is like this. When Krishna gives us that realization, one day Krishna will do something in such a way that the ego will go from inside. At that time, these qualities will naturally come to that person. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. Maitra karuna evaja, nurmamo nirahangara, samadukka sugakshami. Whereas keeping this false ego inside, if you try to cultivate all these qualities, it will stay in the brain. It won't go down inside. This is the problem. So qualities are not for cultivation. When the false ego leaves from inside, qualities will come to that person in a natural way. That's the principle behind it. So, so after that he mentions there that there is more interesting parts about him, that when Patanthar was sitting like that, once he was passing across a field, he was sitting down and lying down on the bund between the fields, what they built, isn't it? Big rice fields, you will see that. He was lying down there. So while lying down, he had put his hand like this and he was as a pillow and he was sleeping like this. Two women were passing through that way, carrying some water in their pitcher, in the water pots. When they saw Patanthar lying there, one of them says to the other, that look at this, what kind of sannyasi is this? They are saying about him. He has given up everything, but still attachment to the pillow hasn't gone, he says. Because he's still using the hand as the pillow. Patanthar heard that. When he heard that, he says, this is true, what they're saying is true, I still have attachment here. That's why I need a pillow for my comfort. Isn't it the desire for that, comfortable in life? We also have the same difficulty, isn't it? We want as many cushions as possible on all sides. And because body wants to be comfortable always. And that attachment, that's what it says. So he says like that, and then so Patanthar took his hand off from there and he started sleeping without the pillow, so that they don't make this comment about them. So here you can see here one thing, that when the mind is in vyavaharam, raga dvesham will be there. Ragam and dvesham will be there. And as long as there is ragam, there will be dvesham. And as long as there is dvesham, there will be ragam. So when both these things go away from inside, that is when prasannata. Prasannata means that peaceful, happy state will come to a person. That is what Krishna is saying there in the second chapter. Raga dvesha vimukta is to vishayan indriyais charan. Vishayan indriyais charan. Atma vashya vidhaya atma prasadamati gacchati. Remember that verse in the second chapter? Ragadvesha, very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, because the whole second chapter is very much an expansion of that verse. Ragadvesha vimuktais tu vishayan indriyais charan. Ragadvesha vimuktais tu vishayan 64. Ragadvesha vimuktais tu vishayan indriyais charan atma vashyer vidhe atma prasadam adigacchati. One who can control his senses by practicing the regulated principles of freedom can attain the complete mercy of the Lord and thus become free from all attachment and aversion. So the idea is to get at freedom from attachment and aversion. All attachment and aversion, says. Atma vashyer vidhayatma prasadam adigacchati. So ragam dvesham vimuktaistu. Freedom from ragam, freedom from dvesham. Vishayan indriyascharan. As long as vishayam indriyam senses. Senses are engaged in vishayam, sense gratification. It is not possible. Therefore, to free the senses from sense enjoyment, only atma vashyer vidhayatma. It comes to the state of when Atma Vashir Vithayatma Prasadam Adigachadi. Krishna is saying that Atma Vashir Vithayatma, unless one comes to the platform of the soul, Prasadam is not possible. Prasadam means that peaceful state of existence. Adigachadi. Krishna explains that there. And we also, in order to that, then Krishna mentions the next verse. Prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyopa jayade prasanna chetasos hyashu buddhi pratyavatishtade. Prasade sarva dukhanam hani rasyopa jayade. For one who is situated in the divine consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such a happy state, one's intelligence soon becomes steady. Prasade chetasos hyashu buddhi pratyavatishtade. So that is the way it works. That's the way it happens. So devotee will not have ragam or dvesham. Will not have ragam, dvesham. As long as we have attachment, there is aversion as well. From ragam comes sukham, from dvesham comes dukham. Ragam comes sukham and dvesham comes dukham. You see that verse, if you look, you will see there. Advaishta sarvabhodhanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara sama dukha sukhakshami. He says there, isn't it? So, this sukham dukham, where do they come from? They come from ragadvesham. That's why it's important. So, samadukha sukhakshami, when you say, it is not that sukham dukham will keep coming and you will be equally placed towards that, but if the ragadvesham goes away from inside a person, there won't be any sukha dukham impact at all. Sukham dukham is experienced by the mind, isn't it? Experienced by the mind. That's why Krishna is saying like that. Advaishta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma dradanishaya mayarpida manobuddhur yomal bhakta samepriya. So you have to see that link between sukham and dukham and ragam and dvesham. If you remove ragadvesham from inside, sukha-dukham won't be a problem anymore. That's the important thing. So, with ragadvesham inside, sukha-dukham won't go. As long as we have ragadvesham inside, sukha-dukham won't go. Because this sukham and both of these things is who carries them? False ego. This ragadvesham, who carries that? False ego carries that. They say that just like the cow has got two horns, the hangaram inside, it has got two horns. One is ragam and the other one is dvesham on either side like this. Ragadvesham. That's the two horns of false ego inside. Some bulls you can see are such big powerful horns, isn't it? In the same way. So once that false ego goes from inside, sukham gone, dukham gone. There is no more there. You know. After that, what you have is shanti. What you have is shanti. So shanti is our swarupam. Krishna has mentioned that many times before. When we transcend, when we move beyond ragadvesham or sukha dukham, shanti is our state, and experience that shanti is our tapas, austerity. Is the tapas what Krishna is? We will not like it in the beginning when we say that, because what we want in life is sugam and dukham. Isn't it? The nature is like that. We like sukha. Everybody wants sukham in this life. Nobody wants dukham. So as long as, but the thing is that there is no, you can't have sukham alone. The offer is like this. You can have sugam, but you'll have to take dukham also. That's the way it is. It is created is like that. Dundvam, it is called. Duality. Duality is like this. If you want sukham, you can have sukham. But then you should be prepared to take the dukham also along with that. Distress also. So you can't have one of the two. Only happiness. That is not possible in this world for anybody. For anybody, it's not possible. If you want to have happiness, you have to be willing to accept distress as well. There is no escape route from there. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That sukha dukkha samakshami, Krishna is saying there, isn't it? Sandusht adveshta sarvabhodanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. So samadukha sukhakshami, dukham sukham samatvam. That will only happen when there is shanti inside. Otherwise it won't happen. It's a very subtle thing. And you can see in that whole verse, the key pin behind that is, the pin is that ahangaram. Nirahangaram samadukha sukhakshami. Krishna put that ahangaram before that. Why? Because it from ahangaram these two are coming. Nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. Nirmama means no attachment. Mamattvam. No mamattvam. Nirmamattvam. No attachment anywhere, nirahangara, freedom from ego, then samadukham will be sukhakshami, samadukha sukhakshami will happen. That is how that verse has to verse flow. So, what we want what we want is sukham. That is where the whole problem. If this desire for sukham goes away from within, then it won't disturb us so much. This desire for sukham in a very subtle level is operating in us all the time. And therefore, when dukkham comes, we get hurt very much. We get very disturbed about that. So shanti is the one should experience in life. And once that, in shanti, in other words, it is a very impersonal pleasure, that shanti. Shanti comes from freedom from chittavritti, isn't it? Freedom from chittavritti. Not looking for happiness, not looking for distress. Very advanced devotees and jnanis, if you observe them, you will see they're always gone beyond the influence of the mind, transcending the mind and the senses, always staying in that state. So, in order to experience happiness in this world, sukham, what we are looking for, you require this ego. Otherwise, you cannot do it. That is what, who is getting the happiness? The false ego inside. Vyakti abhimanam, or in other words, personal pride. Who is enjoying this happiness in this world? It's him. The jiva, its false ego, is actually experiencing that. So, as an after effect of this, after effect of that happiness, dukkham will come. Distress will come. So, even the less like happiness is taken over by the ahankaram, in the same way, when dukkham comes, also it takes over. Is it not? You can observe yourself and see that when somebody praises you and glorifies you, the ego inside tells you, oh, you're very good. And you take that happiness from that, isn't it? Equally, when somebody criticizes you or insults you, the same person is the one who is suffering, that same false ego. He is accepting. So, like happiness, it can take on board, it can take the distress also on board. This ego inside. This is the nature of that ego. Krishna is saying here that I look in the devotee this state, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevaja Nirmama Nirahangaram Sama Dukham Sukhakshami. Dukham sukham should not disturb him. And freedom from the false ego inside. No attachment anywhere. No ragadvesham advesta. No hate towards anybody. Always maitri towards others. And karunyam in him. Compassion for others. Seeing others' distress in life. All these are qualities which Krishna says will be there in my devotee. That's how Krishna puts it. Adveshta sarvabhutanam maitra karuna yevaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. Krishna says. So, sometimes we will, even when distress comes, what happens is we want to somebody share with us our distress and make that person also in distress. Isn't it? So, we'll get happiness out of that. Just like in married life, we say like that, oh, husband and wife together will share all the happiness and distress. Practically what happens is we dump all our distress on the other person, or she dumps all your distress on you, or you dump all your distress on him. Actually, it's not sharing. You're doubling it. It's not sharing. You're actually doubling the distress. Husband feels the distress of husband and the wife. Wife feels the distress of wife and the husband. So where is the sharing there? You can't share it. It's not something what you can, like prasadam, you can share it. It's a different thing altogether. That's the problem with this, the understanding of this. So here, so then we think, oh, if I had, when something happened in the family, somebody died, a lot of people came and told us, don't worry, oh, this will always happen. And so, oh, we shared with all of them. Actually, what you have done is you shared your distress with everybody else. You made them also miserable and then sent them away. That's what I said. Nobody can share your distress. This is all, this is misunderstanding. So once that attachment aversion goes away from inside, then shanti comes. When shanti comes, if there is no hate, dvesham, then there is no dvesham, hate towards anyone. And because, why is it like that? If you can see like this, You have no hate towards anyone. Why there is no hate towards anyone? Because that person who is hating others is not there anymore. That is the importance of this false ego. Remember, I mentioned this before, that all these qualities, the thing, how it's created inside is because of the false ego. You can see once the false ego goes away from inside, ahankaram, jiva ahanda, it is called in Shastram. Once that goes away, once the ahankaram or false ego goes away, then there is no ragam, there is no dvesham, there is no hate towards anyone. And once that hate, there is no more hate inside, then shanti naturally comes to him. So, because you can see that it is not possible to hate anyone after that. It's not possible to hate anybody after that. Because inside only Krishna is there. Jiva has gone. Atma is there. In the Bhagavatam, if you keep on reading Srimad Bhagavatam from beginning, time and again, Śuka Brahmarshi will keep reminding us that Krishna is present inside, Krishna is present inside, Krishna is present inside. This one message. He keeps reminding us every now and then. You will see that in the Bhagavatam. Why does he do that? To make us aware that we have no independent existence. Only Krishna is doing everything. If we have come to that state, then these qualities what Krishna is going to talk about now, all these next few verses, if that ego goes away, they will all naturally come there. Because it is centered around the ego, all these qualities are, all these qualities are operating. It is centered around the pivot is the ego. Once that ego goes, these things will naturally come there. Advaishta, Sarvabhudanam. Why? Because there is nobody there to hate anymore, anyone. Jiva has gone. Jiva handa has gone, in other words. Vyakti abhimanam, individual false ego, has gone from there. That means it's empty. What is there then left? Only Krishna is left there. Krishna is present there. There's nothing else. So, you can see this. once that understanding comes, that only Krishna is inside, Andaryami, Krishna is present inside, you will also realize it, that in everyone else, only Krishna is present. Jnanis and great devotees, they won't be able to see our jiva handa. They only see Krishna in us all. All of us, what they see in us is Krishna. That's why they don't have any hate towards others, realized souls particularly. This in the Bhagavatam you can see, Hiranyakashipu had a lot of problem with Prahlada, isn't it? But Prahlada had no hate towards Hiranyakashipu. Because in Hiranyakashipu also, he's seeing the same thing. Because seeing that peacefulness in Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu lost, didn't know what to say to him. So many ways Hiranyakashipu tried to torture Prahlada, isn't it? You know that in the Bhagavatam 7th canto. Different ways he tried to torture him. Now, generally we will say like this, that Krishna has protected him. Actually, what has protected him? Krishna, as realization of Krishna, has protected him. When you realize Krishna, you get protected. That means Prahlada was realized when he came from the womb. What was that realization? Realization was this. Then, in this world, there are two things on offer in front of us. One is power and the other one is peace. Shakti, power, and Shanti, peace. Most of the people will opt for power. Most of the people will opt for power. But actually, because it's very tempting, the power. Isn't it? What we want in this world is position, recognition, fame, wealth. Whatever you want, you will get all that thing, but you won't get peace. That's how it is. Out of these two things on offer, power and peace, people choose to go after the power. And power will give all these things. Which one? Fame and wealth, positions, recognition, and all sorts of things like that. You will get that from power, but you won't have peace. But if you want the other one peace, then you have to sacrifice the power. You have to sacrifice the power. But Shanti has its own power in its own way. And that power is what you see in Prahlada. That's what you see in Prahlada. Because when Hiranyakashipu saw him, when the demigods saw Hiranyakashipu, they were so frightened, isn't it? You remember Hiranyakashipu, after coming from after his executing his severe penances in the forest, and Hiranyakashipu has become a skeleton. That's a very beautiful part in the Bhagavatam, that Hiranyakashipu, after his so many thousands of years of penances, hasn't eaten, and was having Narjala Ekadashi throughout for 100,000 years or something. He was having that kind of fasting going on there, and his body has become lost all its no flesh in the body, and astigata pranam they call it. Astigata pranam means only bones are left. Only bones are left. Because this is in the Satyugam, they could perform such penances. Astigada pranam they are called. Only asti, the bones are left in the body. And he was still able to live just with the bones. So that's why that picture in the Bhagavatam, which they have drawn about Hiranyakashipu, showing all the bones outside. All the bones. What do they call these? The ribs, everything coming out. He's so slight. You may wonder, is it possible someone to live like that? Just all the ribs outside. But it is possible in Satyugam. They had that long span of life, and they did not require food for survive maintaining the body. They could perform penances like that. Bodies were little different than the way we are today. So what happened was that Hiranyakashipu had this intense austerities and penances, and then Brahma comes and sees him. By now, the earth has built its own castle around him, like you see in the forest. And Brahma came and they looked, they couldn't even locate him. Where is Hiranyakashipu? Ultimately, he saw these two eyes coming through the earth. Brahma, from his water pot, took some water and sprinkled on that. From there got up a personality. Bhagavatam says, Vajra Samhanano you are. So youthful and body made out of diamond like. Body was made like diamond. So strong and so beautiful he was. People think Hiranyakashipu means generally in the dramas and all, when we present. What do? We give him a big moustache. And very funny eyes, with copper colored eyes, and looking very with ugly teeth, and like a rakshasa like that. Bhagavatam doesn't agree with that. Bhagavatam says Hiranyakashipu was so good looking when he came out from there. Vajra Samhanano you are, Bhagavatam says. This, just like diamond he was. He looked like a made of diamond. So beautiful and impressive he was when he came out. And then there is a conversation between Brahma, and which you can read in the Bhagavatam. And then after that, what did he do? The first thing, he went into the straight away into demigods' planets, heavenly planets. He walked in there. And when he went there, by then they all came to know that Hiranyakashipu is on his way. They were already frightened. They didn't know what to do. They wanted to run away from there. So when he got there, Indra's throne was there, and that was already empty. Nobody was sitting there. Indra has walked away from there, knowing well that Hiranyakashipu is coming. Bhagavatam says, Jagur Mahendra Asanamoja Sastidam Vishava Sustumburu Asmadadayam. That Mahendra Asanam, Indra's throne, with his left foot, he gave a kick like that. He kicked Indra's throne to show that who he is. Jagur Mahendra Asanamoja Sastidam. Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this. It was then that on that way that they met Hiranyakashipu. Sri Narada Maharshi met Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, Sri Narada Maharshi had his two disciples, Vishwavasu Tumbru, Asmadadaya. They were together. They together and Hiranyakashipu, they met Hiranyakashipu there. And they have a conversation there about it, everything what happened. And then that Hiranyakashipu, such a powerful personality, when the demigods are frightened, but Prahlada was very peaceful in front of him. So at that time, Hiranyakashipu asked one, seeing this Prahlada's strength, looking at him physically, there was no strength in Prahlada. But seeing this strength of mind in him, where is Prahlada getting this strength from? He's asking this question to him, that Kastvambalaha, he says there, where do you get this strength from? Where are you getting this strength from? That was the question. So Prahlada's answer is, Prahlada answers to Hiranyakashipu, Pitva Shrunvan Bala Prakaramakhilam Tvalstuti Param Rushanda Prahenam Kulahataka Kaste Balamiti. Pitva Shrunvan, Hiranyakashipu heard about Prahlada's reply to his questions. And Pitva Shrunvan, Hiranyakashipu heard all the answers. Bala Prakaramakhilam Tvalstuti Param. That Bala Prakaramakhilam, that is a childish way he is talking. Because whatever, for everything what Hiranyakashipu has asked, Prahlada's answer was that you have no other shelter except to take Vishnu shelter. That was the answer from Prahlada. So he says, Hiranyakashipu says, this is Bala Prakaramakhilam Tulstuti Param Rushandaha. Hearing all these things, that of glorification of Krishna by Prahlada, he is getting angry. Our Hiranyakashipu is getting angry. Rushandaha Prahenam Kulahada Kaste Balamiti. That anger has turned out in this way, that saying to Prahlada, you are actually insulting our family. Insulting our family. That you keep talking like this. You don't know about our family history, he says. You don't know about me, you don't know about my brother Hiranyaksha, who we are. And you are come as a Kaste Balamidi. Where do you get this power to speak like this? He is asking this question to Prahlada. Hiranyakashipu is asking this question to Prahlada. Prahlada says, I have no strength. But I belong to the strength, he says. That was his answer. I have no strength, but I belong to the strength, he says. So, so you are telling me, he says, that you are also telling me that you have got strength, but actually strength has come to you. You don't have any strength. This is how Prahlada puts it to him. Balam me vaikuntha tavaja jagadanjobi sabalam sa eva trailokyam sagalamidi dhiroyam agadil. Balam me vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is Krishna. Balam me vaikuntha. Balam is with Krishna. When Krishna comes and gives you strength, you have strength. Otherwise, you have no strength. Similarly, there is strength in me that's coming from Krishna. It's not my strength. And my dear father, your strength is also not your strength. It is Krishna's strength. In other words, you can see that realization in Prahlada. Prahlada is seeing Krishna in Hiranyakashipu. Because when he sees this, suppose if you take it in the other way, that seeing the strength of Hiranyakashipu, if you think Hiranyakashipu is stronger than me. No, Prahlada is not thinking like that. Prahlada is saying to Hiranyakashipu, Balam me vaikuntha. This is self-realization. He is saying that my strength is coming from Krishna, Vaikuntha. And it is the same Balam that is coming through you also. There is no two Balam, there is only one Balam in this world. And that Balam comes through different channels, through different people. That's what he is saying here. So he says here, why is it like that? Prahlada has left the personality. Personality has gone away from inside. Jiva Handa has. As long as there is Jiva Handa, false ego inside, that will not work. That will not work. So that is why That is why in that Prahlada's relationship with Hiranyakashipu, you can see this happening. That as long as the Jivahanda has gone, there is no more hate towards Hiranyakashipu. And whatever Hiranyakashipu is standing there and yelling at Prahlada, Prahlada is not affected by any of that. Prahlada is not affected by any of that. He says to him that I have not kept any strength in me, he says, but I have handed over myself to the strength. Handed over myself to the strength. And that is the difference. That is the difference. A devotee does not think he is doing everything. Krishna is doing everything. So he, Prahlada, says to Hiranyakashipu, I don't have anything. I have handed over myself. To that degree, Prahlada has surrendered to Krishna. The result was that whatever that was happening, then Hiranyakashipu has to deal with Krishna's strength, not with Prahlada's strength. Prahlada's strength is this tiny false ego inside that he has given up. The result of that was he has handed over himself to Krishna, and Krishna is now working through Prahlada. And therefore, Hiranyakashipu finds it very difficult to deal with Prahlada. So many things he tried to deal with. This all you have to see from the point of view of the realization. Otherwise, it won't. If you see completely on a material level, it won't make any sense. You will ask, scientists will ask the question, how can it be that if an elephant has hit the Prahlada, he should be completely smashed into pieces, thrown away, bitten by very fiery snakes, he should be dead by the poison's effect, isn't it? That's how you will see that. But from a spiritual position, it is like this, that Prahlada's ego has gone, therefore he is not Prahlada anymore in that sense, that an individual false ego is not operating there. It's Krishna that's operating inside. And therefore, whatever Hiranyakashipu has been trying to do will not have any impact on that body, on that person anymore. So similarly, a devotee, what he does is, he destroys himself first, his ego. He destroys himself, his ego. Everything else is possible in this world, but that is the most difficult thing. Is it not? If you think about it, you can do so many things. Chant so many rounds, so much deity worship you can do, holy places you can visit, Harinam you can go, and everything you can do, but this one thing is the most difficult thing, to destroy ourselves. That is why out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnumursmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasim, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. This Atmanivedanam is that last thing. These other 8 of them is called Angam. There you can practice them. But the last one, 9th one, Angi, is a result of the 8. If 8 has done well, then the 9th one may happen. But that is in Krishna's hands. That's not in our hands. That's why. So, as far as Hiranyakashipu, that is the most difficult thing. And devotee, he destroys himself in front of Krishna. So, all the great devotees will say this, in Krishna's hands, I am just a machine, Krishna is the operator. To that extent, the surrender must happen. Without surrender, in bhakti, there is not a lot of things to know, to speak the truth, to tell the truth. There is not much to know in bhakti. Bhakti is not a big science involved in that, unlike in the Jnana Margam. Bhakti Margam, there is nothing much to know. The only key thing in bhakti is simply nothing but surrender. Surrendering to Krishna. So that is the only thing. So, Prahlada says to, when Hiranyakashipu took his sword and lifted his hand, Prahlada says to Hiranyakashipu, the power that you have got to lift the hand with the sword, that's coming from Krishna. Malamme Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha, Krishna is giving that. So that is what Prahlada's words. That power, if Prahlada says, that is the same power which has given you the strength to lift the hand with the sword. It is the same power that is giving me the strength to speak in this way. There is no 2 power. There is only 1 power. In Prahlada it acts in one way. In Hiranyakashipu it acts in another way. That's all it is. So, And because of the surrender, the false ego is not waking up inside in case of Prahlada, and there is no defeat. Prahlada has no defeat. So, therefore, in every instance, when anything is happening, because it is like this, and Prahlada is fully conscious of that, therefore he says here that every instant when something he felt that he has escaped, he doesn't think like that. Prahlada doesn't think like that. I have done something. It has happened. That is how Krishna has decided. Because that surrender is so complete in Prahlada that even when there is success or failure, it does not disturb him. Because there is no false ego inside to enjoy or to suffer. Whenever we experience happiness or distress in this world, you can take it that it's coming from the false ego. False ego is telling us that you are won or you have lost, whatever that is. So, even though Hiranyakashipu has given so much trouble to Prahlada, there is no dvesham inside. Have you noticed that in Prahlada? No hate towards Prahlada. What did Prahlada do? After his father was killed by Narasimhamurthy, Narasimhamurthy asked Prahlada, "What benediction do you want from me?" And Prahlada first told him, "If only benediction I want from you is not to ask for any benediction, one thing. But one thing," he said, "that my father, who has behaved so badly with me and with you, please don't send him to the hellish planets." So that means, in spite of all Hiranyakashipu has done to Prahlada, there is not even a trace of hate, dvesham in Prahlada's mind, Prahlada's heart. This is that greatness of that devotee. Imagine that. That although, as a father, he has given him so much pain and tortured him to such an extent to destroy him completely, in spite of all that, inside Prahlada's heart, no hate towards Hiranyakashipu. Why this is possible? Why this is? Because he has taken away completely that ego from inside, has gone away from him. So, and when you see that in this world, for us, somebody don't have to give us any trouble. If we come to know somebody is planning to give us some trouble, that's enough for us to react, isn't it? So, that's why Krishna is saying here, suppose if we guess something in our mind that somebody is planning to give me trouble, then that's enough to me start making plans against that straight away. This is what the difference is. That's why Krishna is saying there, Adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samatukha sugakshami. Not to any living entity there is no dvesham or hate. There is no dvesham or hate. In Ramayanam you will see the same thing. In one instance, that Ramachandra's Patabhishekam was stopped by Kaikeyi, isn't it? Kaikeyi stopped Ramachandra being thrown. And that night, a lot of things happened in the palace in Ayodhya. That lot of discussions going on between Dasharatha was in a semi-conscious state, totally disturbed over what happened. That next day, Rama was going to be thrown, but then the whole thing was blocked by Kaikeyi. And Ramachandra said, "We will go to forest to keep my father's words true. I'm going to go to the forest and Bharata should be installed as a king." All these things. So while going, there was a conversation between Ramachandra, Lakshmana, and Bharata also came by then from Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi's son, so from Kaikeyi they comes. So when they came, that conversation, Ramachandra says to them that actually Kaikeyi is very kind to me, he says. And he stops from Lakshmana, and Bharata spoke very rudely about Kaikeyi. But Ramachandra says to them, "You have no right to speak ill of Kaikeyi. Kaikeyi has done me the greatest favor. Because as far as I am concerned, this administration of the kingdom is always all problems, all tension and stress for me. But she has handed over the whole thing to Bharata, told him, you do this, run the administration. And she has given me the opportunity to go to forest, which means I'll get the opportunity to see all the great sages in the forest." You remember, in the Ramayanam, you will see a number of sages starting from Bharadwaja Maharshi and many Agastya in Chitrakoodam and so many other great, great sages, they all had association with Ramchandra during the forest. And Ramchandra was looking forward to that very much. And he says here, she has told me, you go and stay in the forest, let Bharata manage the kingdom. And that is the greatest mercy she has shown to me. And not even the least anger in Ramchandra's face towards Kaikeyi at that time. Bharat got angry with him and got angry with Kaikeyi also and says to and he says to Bharata, if you get angry with Kaikeyi, I will never come back to this place again. This was Bharat's, Ramchandra's warning to Bharata at that time. All great personalities, if you look in their life, you will see that they have gone through this without any dvesham or hate towards anyone. They executed their life in this world and they will win always. They will win always. They're able to deal with people without any dvesham. You can see that in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's case also with Jagai and Mathai, that although they did so many things against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but in return, he did not show any kind of hate towards them. That is to show to us that the ragadvesham is the problem. Till that goes away, sukha dukkham won't go away. Shanti won't happen. So that is why Krishna is saying there, ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran atma vishya vidheyatma prasadam adigacchati. The prasadam state is that shanti state. So, and Mahaprabhu embraced them, and in that embrace, their cruelty has completely melted, isn't it? This is a big science. Now, if we start seeing whoever our enemies are, if we start going embracing them, thinking like that, that's not going to happen. It's not going to change. That's not what it means. This comes from developing that Antaryami Vidya. After we have, through our tapas, intense tapasya, if we have developed that Antaryami Vidya well, very well inside, only then this can happen. That will only happen to great personalities, not in the our state. So, Krishna says here, Adveshta Sarva Bhodanam Maitra Karana Evaja. Maitri Bhavam. Maitri Bhavam is a positive side. So you can see that Ramachandra's friends, they were all monkeys, weren't they? They were all monkeys. And they were all his friends. And Sugriva, Hanuman, all of them. And another side you can also see, Guha, when he had to cross the river, that Sarayu River, Guha came and he took him in his boat, who was Ramachandra's friend later. And Guha belonged, he was a Nishada, one of the forest dwellers. Isn't it? So there, Ramachandra mentions there to Lakshmana about this. He says, Mitra bhavena sampraptam na tyajayam kathanjana dosho yadi abhitasya sadam eda agarhidam. He says there, this is this way Ramachandra's dealings with the people was like this, that doesn't matter who it is, Maitri Bhavam is there. Ramchandra accepted them always. And wherever he found the dvesham, he will remove it by telling them the truth. With Bharata, he spoke the truth. Later on with Lakshmana also, he had to do the same thing. And to remove that hate from inside, Lakshmana was very upset that Ramchandra was not put on the throne. And therefore, Lakshmana spoke sometimes very rudely certain things. That time, Ramchandra had to put him on the right path, just like Bharata. He had to do that. Ramchandra was more like a father than a brother to them. Just like a father chastised the children, he chastised them and brought them onto the right track. So in the same way, when Vibhishana had to surrender, which is famous in the Vibhishana surrender to Ramchandra, so Vibhishana was in a very predicament, isn't it? He didn't know whether Ramchandra will accept me or not. And he spoke dharmam to Ravana. Vibhishana spoke the dharmam to Ravana. Nobody is listening. Then he decided to come to Ramachandra and take his shelter. Along with him, three other Rakshasas also came with him and to see Ramachandra. But when they came, they were standing in the sky, three of them. They all had yoga power, Bhishma and the Rakshasas. They were standing in the sky and they sent a message here, they want to come and see Ramachandra. Instead of inviting them straight away, what did Ramachandra do? He organized a meeting of all his ministers, the monkeys, Sugriva, Hanuman, Angada, Jambavan, all of them together. And he says to them, Sugriva says to him, so asks opinion from each one of them. Sugriva says, no, we should not accept him, he says. So Ramachandra says to him, why don't we accept him? Sugriva says, he has betrayed his brother. How can we accept him? Ramachandra didn't reply, looked at Lakshmana's face and smiled. That's all, that was sufficient. Valmiki didn't say anything further in the Ramayana. Just mentioned that much. That because exactly that's what he has done. That he has betrayed his brother. And now he is telling to Ramachandra, Sugriva has done exactly the same thing. His brother Bali, he has got him killed by Ramachandra. And now he is saying to Ramachandra, we should not accept him. Because Vibhishana has betrayed his brother. So Ramachandra was found it very funny what he spoke. So Sugriva's opinion was like that. Some others said that we can accept him, but we should always keep an eye on him. He could be a spy coming from Ravana. Ravana's spy he could be. Somebody else said that we will accept him, but under no circumstances we will give him any position in our group. But we have to be very careful with him and always constantly keep an eye on him. So all these things, things happened in that meeting, Vibhishana Sharanagati, Vibhishana surrender. Ultimately, he asked Hanuman, what should we do with him? Hanuman says, accept them, he said. He accepted him. So he congratulated Hanuman for giving the right word. He said, that's that time he said this, Mitrabhavena Sampraptam. Anybody who comes to me with Maitri, friendship, extending friendship and comes to me, I will accept him. Ramachandra says there. Dosho yadi abhidasyasval satam edad agarhidam. I do not desert anyone, he says, who arrives with a friendly way, friendly appearance, because his acceptance is sufficient for me. He has accepted me, that's as a friend, that's enough for me. He says there. And that is what, in the eyes of good people, it's always like that. Ramachandra makes a statement there. That great personalities, for them that's enough. If you go to them in a friendly way, that is sufficient for them. So, so when this incident happened, Sugriva sensed that there is something wrong what he has said. About Vibhishana, isn't it? Obviously, Sugriva knows Vibhishana's position. Vibhishana, great devotee, and also he has been from a very difficult situation, isn't it? You cannot go back to Ravana again. Ravana will kill him. He won't take him back. And it was a very difficult situation for him. Now he has come and surrendered to Ramachandra. And if Ramachandra don't accept him, what is his fate? Where will he go? He has no place to go. So that was known to Sugriva also. But having made all this statement about Bhishana, Sugriva was not very intelligent that way. It mentions in the Valmiki says that Sugriva was a nice person and wanted to, but Ramachandra used to say that Sugriva has a lot of tamogunam inside. He couldn't see things very well. So so Ramanujacharya mentioned this before while discussing this, that there was one devotee who used to hear Ramayana very happily from Ramanujacharya discussing, and this Vishnu Sharanagati was discussed. Ramanuja was talking about it for hours together, how Vibhishana came and how he wanted to surrender to Ramachandra and all the discussions what happened between Ramachandra and the monkeys. All that discussion, Ramanujacharya was talking about it. So this one Brahmana who used to enjoy these discussions very well, he won't go home, he will simply hear. That was his happiness in listening to this. So when this incident happened, that Ramachandra did not receive Vibhishana straight away, he got very upset. He took his cloth, everything from the where he was sitting, put it on his shoulder and he walked out from there, from the meeting. From Ramanujacharya's meeting, he walked out from there. So Ramanujacharya thought this is pretty unusual, never had happened this before. This person always used to sit and listen very carefully and he was enjoying it all the time. But how come this changed? So he called him back, tell him to come back. He came back and he says to him, what happened? He says, I cannot understand what you are saying, he said. You are saying that Vibhishana has given up everything at home. He has no connection anymore with Ravana. And he had come here to surrender to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra is saying that I have to discuss this matter before I accept him. If it is like that, that a person who has surrendered so much to Ramachandra, if it needs a discussion and to look into the file and another Levison inquiry starts about the whole thing, if it is like that, then what chance have I got, he says. Compared to Vibhishana, I have not surrendered. Brahmana is saying to Ramanujacharya, I have not surrendered anything. I am hearing about Sri Rama Katha. Ramachandra's pastimes I am hearing. I have not surrendered. But here is Vibhishana has come and he has surrendered everything and has come to see him, to surrender to Ramachandra. And Ramachandra is saying, well, I have to start an inquiry first before and completely evaluate about the person and then make the decision. So he says, the Brahmana says, if it is like this, my Ramachandra, then it's no point in me wasting time here. I'm going, he said. There's no hope for me. There's no chance, he said. And he was trying to walk out from there. It was then that Ramanujacharya called him back and told him. He said, you haven't heard the whole story yet, he said. It took a while for Vibhishana to get accepted. But with Vibhishana, three Rakshasas had come. Three Rakshasas have come with him. Because when Vibhishana was accepted, they were also accepted along with that. Sometime you have seen that. Suppose you are standing in a queue in a big busy temple, say in Tirupati or something like that. Not now, in the past. Now they have brought electronic things, everything to monitor everything. Previously, you just stand in the queue. Suddenly, one of them, if they notice someone, VIP or somebody, they'll pull him out, say, you come in the front, you go this way, they'll say. With him, all his cronies also will escape with him. You must have seen that in many places. All the cronies also will escape with him. That's possible. So similarly, these Rakshasas also, they didn't do anything. They were not subjected to any scrutiny. Along with Vibhishana, they were also taken on board. They also escaped. So Ramanujacharya is telling Sugriva like this. Sugriva, it is like this. If in all this group, if one person escape, we will also all escape together along with that. That was the point he was making there. So here, Mitra Bhavena Sam Praptam Natyajeyam Kathanjana Dosho Yadi Abhidasya Syal Satam Edadagarahidam. That Ramachandra's position is like this, that if someone comes to him with mitrabhavam, friendship, that Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karunayavaj, that Maitri Bhavam, mitrabhavam, that is sufficient for him. And as devotees, that is what will happen. That if somebody escapes from here, everybody will also has got a chance to escape with that. That is possible, that it can happen like that. So, so here, there are many instances like this, that when Ahanda, false ego goes from inside, like in Vibhishana's case, there was no false ego inside. He was so surrendered to Ramachandra that he was able to come like this. And Ramachandra, knowing very well that he has no false ego inside, was willing to accept him. Anjaneya Swami accepted him. And that acceptance is more important. That freedom from that false ego. Krishna calls this as the first quality in the 26 qualities. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaujam stairyam alpavinigraha. That amanitvam means freedom from this pridelessness, freedom from the false ego. So in spite of all the problems, getting rid of this dirt from inside, that is austerity, that is tapas, that is tapas. So there are many instances like this. In so many devotees' case, if you see, you will see this happening again and again and again. They learn at different times through different experiences. Pakanar's story is famous. Pakanar was a famous personality born from a very lower family, but a lot of higher realizations. In one instance, he was traveling through a fruit market and he was starving. He was really starving. He had nothing to eat. So one fruit vendor, he had one of these trolleys on which they keep all the fruits in, and he was pushing this trolley, and there was a lot of different fruits on that, and he brought that trolley somewhere and parked it there to do the business, and then he went away to talk to somebody or to do some business. So that time Pakanar saw that fruits all sitting there on the top of this table. So Pakanar first thought, should I take the fruits and eat? I'm hungry. He couldn't bear himself. So from inside, he get this message not to do it. Inside is saying to him not to do it, because this directly leads to stealing. He has no money to pay. He just wants to take it and eat it. So inside is saying not to eat, but finally Pakanar decided to take some fruits and eat it. As soon as he ate the fruits, the fruit seller came out and saw him, Pakanar. He caught hold of him and started bashing him, beating him up, because he hasn't paid. He was stealing practically. And you know how people are, local people? As soon as they found a thief, they all joined him to give full support to the fruit seller. So everybody started beating him. All people who are there, they all together started beating him. So Pakanar is saying to them, beat him more. I've already told him not to do it, he says. He says, I've told him not to do it. About himself, he is saying. So I've told him not to do it, but he has done it. He requires more beating. Keep beating him, he says. People couldn't answer that comment from him. What can you say to that when somebody says that? When the false ego goes away from inside, never identifying anymore with the body, and these experiences in this world is only to indicate to us that when that false ego goes away, when something happens into the body or the mind, it is not disturbing him anymore. So, but if you ask this question, was it right what Pakanar has done? Pakanar has done the right thing. Because when you are hungry, it's no point in looking at dharmam at that time. You don't look at dharmam at that time. So, here, many times, due to our weaknesses, we may do certain things, certain mistakes. But without being affected by that, and because they are done out of our weaknesses, not deliberately. But Krishna says here, little by little, if you can free yourself from any of those weaknesses, that is called austerity. Krishna calls it as tapasa pudamalmanam duda kalmasha, that is tyagam. So sacrifice, the word sacrifice, tyagam, means tapasa pudamalmanam, all our weaknesses within us, if we are able to get rid of them, able to buy austerities in this way, that ahankaram is the one which gets hurt when somebody beats you or chastises you. Who gets hurt? The ahankaram gets hurt. Pakanar was completely freedom from false ego. On a dharmic level, he didn't do anything wrong. Inside, as Vaishvangara, Krishna is sitting there, he wants the food. And the food is available, there is nothing wrong in eating in that way. Nothing wrong what he has done, because he was really needed that food for him. But if he had reacted to them in a situation like that, on the other hand, because of the freedom from false ego, Pakanar spoke to them in such a way that they appreciated that Pakanar's state of understanding, that false ego wasn't operating. He was purely from a spiritual level he spoke, replied them in this way. Tapasa pudam altmanam duda kalmashaha. that Pudam Almanam, one has to purify oneself through tapas, austerity. So that is that. Many instances. So what is required here is alertness, jagrata, or vigilance in life. So so in one instance, in one ashramam, there was one incident that there was one inmate in the ashram, and he somehow or the other fell into some bad association, left the ashram. In the ashram, while he was there, he never engaged in any kind of programs. There are some people in the ashram like that, always you will notice. They won't attend any program, but they'll be doing some service in the kitchen or doing some other services. But they won't be very much present in the classes or satsangam or in the discussion, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, and things like that. They won't have much interest, but they'll be in the temple, living in the temple, doing some service, cutting vegetables or washing pots or something like that. They will do something like that. So there was this one person who worked in the kitchen in that way, in the ashram, and he, due to bad association, he went and did something wrong which he shouldn't have done outside. So the local people came to know about it, and they beat him up for what he did. And so in the ashram there were other inmates also, so they went up to the head of the mat and told him that what he has done is really bad, the whole town is talking about it, and we should get it off him from this ashram. He's going to cause a lot of problems because of the bad name for the ashram as well, he said. So the sannyasi said, doesn't matter, now that he has gone, let's see what happens. After a few months, when he got beaten up, he left the town and he went away from there. For a few months he went away. After a few months, wandering around in many places, he came back to the same ashram again. Ashram life is all these things are going on in ashram. Don't think ashram is all completely spiritual, everything what's happening there. So many things happens in ashram also. So he comes back after a few months, and all the leading so-called senior devotees, they told the sannyasi that don't accept him anymore, don't let him to come back again inside, he said. So the sannyasi thought about this and said to him that we will see about this, and he called him separately and started talking to him. He said to him, the only thing mistake you have done is that you could not cover up what you are doing. All others here are also doing the same thing. Only thing is they are good at covering up everything. This is the same situation everywhere you will see in all ashrams. People will be saying very honest things and they will present themselves as saintly people. But behind that, what they are doing, you don't know, I don't know. Yeah. We are thinking that they are all saintly personalities living together, but it's not necessarily always. So he says to him, the sad thing what has happened is that he did not have any satsangam. The result of that is that he has gone and fallen into this trap. But if he gets an opportunity for satsangam, eventually he will also change himself. Only difference is that he has gone and done something, but he couldn't cover it up. But though there are many others here who are doing a lot of nonsense, but they are very good in covering up. And they are the ones who are coming and telling me that we should not take him back. So that is the situation in this world. So, but when we have through these experiences, when the false ego goes away from inside, we'll start seeing things in the proper way. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna yevacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukakshami. So here you can see here that ahangaram, that false ego, removing that is in the important priority, more than cultivating all these qualities mentioned there. Getting rid of the false ego is the top priority. So even that, when you hear all these incidences in the Ramayana, Mahabharata and all that, so even we hear it in satsangam, but still when you go out and start dealing in vyavaharam, it will all go again. The whole thing will go back. Only at that time you know how your selfishness is coming back again. And And that selfishness will again start dictating our old way of thinking, bringing back to us that I need this, I need this. So, and that is where the question we have to ask, that where to separate the soul, individual soul, the our identity as the soul, where we have to establish. Because this reflection on the soul, Atma Vicharam or Atma Vidya, it's not a technique. Because every time we are thinking that it is some kind of subject like chemistry and physics we have to study and keep it in the brain. No. Every time when experience happens like this, whatever we have understood from Bhagavad Gita, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, all various Shastram, like here Krishna is saying, Adveshta Sarabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sukakshami. Now, we understand from that verse what Krishna is saying here, that Krishna feels attachment to a devotee who has these qualities in him. We have also seen what are the problems, what are the impediments in having these qualities, because the problem comes from false ego inside. False ego is the cause of everything. From the experiences of all these great devotees, you can see that the false ego, it keeps coming back every time. It leaves us, it comes back. In Salsangam also, when you discuss about these great devotees, their life in this world, we still hear about the way false ego operates and how they freed themselves from the false ego. Like here you can see these personalities like Patanavtar, Pakanar and so many others who have in their life, by their own examples, they have shown to us that false ego they were able to completely give up in their life. But you will notice this, that as soon as when it comes back, that is when whatever strength we have in spiritual life has to come to our shelter. Because what are we trying to do? There is a pleasure seeking nature in us, a center there, where the jiva ahanda, false ego is centered around there, isn't it? The false ego is centered around that pleasure seeking center inside. That's where it is there. It is at that time, right time to catch him. When he is demanding. As soon as you go into Vyavaharam in this world, when it comes back and starts pulling us in that direction, so there we won't give it up. We want to have it our own way. So in that situation, if you are able to stay outside that, unaffected by that pull, and able to look at it, you can see how the mind is moving. You didn't like it, and you will keep on insisting that I will not allow that to happen. So only if you are able to stay out of your mind and look at your mind, you will be able to see that. At that time, you can see that the whole mind is driven by the false ego. False ego is driving the whole mind along with it. You can observe all these things if you separately watch it. But normally what happens is when the false ego pulls, you get pulled so strongly that we will not be able to separately think anything. But if you think about it, you will see that if you start looking at that time, who am I who gets pulled like this? Who am I? And that is the time when you can get hold of the false ego. That's the only time when you can get hold of the false ego. In normal situations, you cannot get the false ego. You can only get the false ego when you are exposed to certain situations like that. Situations like that. So that selfishness, false ego, and the hate, all these things, all those times you will see that aham vritti, ahankaram will be very powerful. It will come out very forcefully from inside. There is two things inside, ahamkaram and aham bodham. Aham bodham is what we are, pure consciousness, isn't it? Sandra aham bodham means nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam, eternal, pure, always liberated, fully conscious. The consciousness, which is the soul, that is aham bodham. And the other one, what we are operating in this world in Vyavaharam, is ahankaram. Ahankaram. Ahankaram is the false ego. So that false ego, you will see the strong pull from that false ego coming in certain situations when we are exposed to in the Vyavaharam stage most of the times. So it is said only at that time you can ask this question, where this Ahankaram has come from, where this Ahankaram has come from. And that is when Krishna is saying there, with great alertness and vigilance, just like if you are able to look at it as a witness to see where it's coming from, it is at that time that you can sacrifice it, that ego. If you can sacrifice at that time, that selfishness will not grow strongly inside. So, so many instances in this world when we will see that Ahankaram says, I need it, but I'm unable to sacrifice anything. This is Krishna is causing it as tapasya, a kind of austerities. So, in order to do that, to do all these things, we require a certain amount of inward looking nature, antarmukhatvam. Antarmukhatvam is necessary. And that antarmukhatvam is what Krishna calls as the intelligence. And in order to create that intelligence is why we chant the holy name, meditations, all these things. In order to create that inward looking nature. Because spiritual life is what Krishna says here, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam, the whole thing is a fight against that false ego. He is popping up all the time and creating situations like this. And and in order to give up that selfishness from inside, karma, whole of Karma Yoga, if you look, you will see how to free oneself from that selfishness, isn't it? The selfishness which is coming from that false ego, that's what is operating all the time. Operating all the time. Almanivedanam, also Mahabali's story in the Bhagavatam. So, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. So, a Maitri Bhavam. Maitri Bhavam means that relationship like Mitram, friend. That selfishness is not there. Selfishness is not there. Wherever we go, everybody is a friend at that time. And everyone will do things what we want them to do. in the case of people who have lived in this world with a lot of selfishness, you will see there that they may have acquired a lot of wealth and other things, but they also go through very difficult times in life. Very difficult times in life. So often people will think, spoken about like this, people get married and they will say like this, that if I don't get married, who's going to look after me at the old age? And sorts of things like that, it's spoken. That's why most of the people feel that they need somebody to be married at the old age. But often it happens the other way. Person whom you're married to look after you, you end up looking after that person at the end. So when we know that nobody is looking after us, we ourselves are not looking after us, when we know that, only then that selfishness will go from inside. Then the whole world will look after you. That's what Prakriti does. Prakriti does like that. You can see so many examples if you observe in this world. You will see this happening all the time. Lot of people are under anxiety. Young men, young women, they are thinking that if I don't get married, what will happen to me at the old age? Who will look after me? Women thinking like that, men are also thinking like that. Parents are thinking the same thing. Actually, all this is ignorance, nothing but ignorance. It has nothing to do with the reality. That is why all the spiritual personalities are showing to us. You can see in so many instances, the nature, there is a force in the nature which looks after people. It's not our, we are looking at ourselves. That is our material understanding. So, so here, there are many instances like this. And best example is Buddha himself, Lord Buddha. Buddha is the first personality who created a spiritual organization in this world. And Buddha is the first personality who found that spiritual organization will not work. The first person who realized it is also Lord Buddha. And that is why he created it and he destroyed it himself and walked away from there. He understood the problem. He created the first institution in this world for spiritual life. And he found out that it doesn't work. And it failed. And he walked away from there. So, what happened to him was, Buddha became very old. And disciples started fighting each other. It happens all the time. The waiting for the Guru to go. And Guru will struggle very hard, make a wonderful institution. And at the old age, he'll be lying in the bed and the disciples will be standing there and fighting each other. Who should be the next? It is all the time happening all over the world, always. It's the same story. It's not different anywhere. You can't do anything about it. That is how it is. That Buddha experienced this. So what did Buddha do? Buddha at that time, he said, I'm going, he said. He had enough, walked out from the whole scene. And he says, they were all talking, giving different opinions. And they have started advising Buddha what he should do after all this. This will happen. So he says, he went to the forest. And one disciple who were close to him, he decided to go and see what Buddha is going to do in the forest. He started following him to the forest. Buddha went to the forest. And there, when he went to the forest, Buddha was a very, Krishna himself, isn't it, another form that has come there. Keshavadatta Buddha Sharira. Buddha Sharira means Krishna. So he goes to the forest, and in the forest he was alone. Initially he was alone there. There was nobody with him. So an elephant came, a single elephant in the forest. He comes to Buddha, and seeing Buddha, the elephant felt so compassion for him, and he started bringing good fruits from the forest and give it to Buddha. And not only that, he stood there as a servant next to Buddha and observing Buddha if he needed any service. That's the elephant natural way it was reacting in this way. And in the forest there was no hot water for Buddha to bathe. So what did he do? He picks up a huge stone and takes the stone away, this elephant, and there was a hot water spring, and there he puts it in the hot water and keeps the stone very hot, brings it back and then puts it in the cold water and makes it hot for Buddha to bathe. In its elephant's technology, it's doing its own way, things, to keep this Buddha happy. He brought fruits, so many things, and brought a lot of branches and of the trees and made a proper bed for Buddha to sleep. And that too, a single elephant is doing that. It's a wild elephant from the forest is doing all this to Buddha. So initially it was like that. Seeing this elephant's activity, one monkey saw how the elephant is doing the service to Buddha. So the monkey started bringing plenty of fruits for Buddha and giving it to Buddha in that way. So between elephant and the monkey, they were looking after Buddha in the forest. When Ananda came there, this disciple, close disciple of Buddha, to see him, Ananda saw that Buddha is being cared for much better than his own disciples were looking after him. Seeing that, Ananda had a conversation with Buddha. So Buddha mentions to him that material body is not looked after by us. We cannot look after this body. Just like the person who has brought us here, who has kept us in the womb of the mother and looked after us, who brought us up, he has got the full responsibility to get us through this world also. If it is meant to be cared for, if Prarabdham is like that, it is going to be looked after in that way. So, in Prakriti, material nature, this rule is very, very strong. This rule is very, very strong. So, you will see this in so many instances. Krishna arranges everything. Somewhere, from nowhere, from unexpected quarters, the help will come. How it will happen? Krishna will operate through many, 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 many channels. It can happen. So our planning is not very important in all these things. Because generally our tendency is to plan everything, even for death, isn't it? Somebody will be there to organize everything, but that doesn't work like that. So, because personalities like Buddha and many other great souls, what they have done, they have first realized themselves as the Antaryami inside. False ego is gone, Antaryami realization has happened to them. And they have found that it is the same Antaryami who is present in others as well. It's the same personality, isn't it? Krishna himself, who is Antaryami in me, is Antaryami in everybody. And they have developed this Antaryami Vidya to such an extent, whenever they needed help, Antaryami knows what is required
And Antaryami can arrange through another form, another person. It will come, whether it is comes through elephant or monkey or whatever, doesn't matter. It will come. The help has to come. Prakriti works like that. That is how material nature operates in this world. So, when we give up this false ego and when we realize the truth, what happens is whole material nature looks after you. Whole material nature looks after you. So, adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karunaye vacham nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. You will hear this famous story about Swami Ramatirtha. Ramatirtha's famous story. In the woods of God realization, we can read that, what happened to him. He was a young person, 27, 28 years old, was sent to Japan for a meeting, some religious meeting or something. He goes there in a ship, and after the meeting was over, the friends told him that he should go to America from Japan. So those days they had to travel by ship, isn't it? So someone arranged a ticket for him to go to US from there. And he went to America, and when he got there, he had no money with him. All he had was one shoulder bag, nothing else, and the dhoti what he was wearing. The ship landed in the port, docked in the port, and then everybody got out from the ship. He was still standing there. So one officer or somebody was working there, he came up to Ramatirtha and says to him, that are you not getting down? He says, yes, I am getting down, he said. So who are you waiting for? He says, I'm waiting for you, he said. And this person got so affected by that statement. This is what Maitri Karuna Evacha means, that Maitri Bhava. When he spoke that, I'm waiting for you, that person felt the necessity to take him home. And have you got any baggage? He says, Rama doesn't carry any baggage, he says. That's how he never spoke in terms of himself. Ego has gone away. So that realization has come to him that Krishna is present in everyone. And there is nobody separate. Everyone is Krishna's presence in everyone. That recognition. He took him home, and months together he kept him at home and looked after him. Ramatirtha later on left that and went to Sacramento River. He used to spend time there. And he used to speak to the birds and to the animals in the forest. Ramatirtha was so good at all these things. A young person as well. Hearing about Ramatirtha, the president wanted to see him. Roosevelt was the president then. Roosevelt wanted to meet him. And whenever Ramatirtha spoke, he always spoke in this way. He won't say I. He doesn't exist I in him. Always say Rama. Rama doesn't want this. Rama doesn't want that. So, like this. So the people who were friendly to Ramatirtha told him that when president comes to see you, don't talk like this. It will be taken very offensively if you tell him that Rama doesn't like it. Like he says. So Roosevelt came and saw Ramatirtha. And here, Ramatirtha changed the whole thing. Ramatirtha says to Roosevelt, that Emperor Rama, he says. Little bit in a much more advanced way, he says, Emperor Rama doesn't like this, Emperor Rama doesn't do this like that. Roosevelt felt very funny. He's the president of the United States, isn't he? Big man. So he says to him, where are you, where is your empire, he says. Ramatirtha says to him, the difference is your empire will only last for 5 years, my empire remains forever. He says, I live in that empire where it is full of detachment and renunciation. That I'm always in that state. It doesn't go away after a few years. Whether Roosevelt understood or that, I don't know. But that is how that Maitri Bhavam. Never able to offend anyone. But whole material nature comes to help from somewhere. People come to help. You can see in Prabhupada's life also, in so many instances, so many people came to help. Completely dependent on Krishna. Prabhupada's going along with his mission. And help was coming from the nature. They know very well that this will come from the nature. When one is completely surrendered to Krishna, then it is Krishna's responsibility to look after the devotee. So, Swami Ramatirtha, many others, it's the same story. You can see ditto. Everything exactly the same way happening in all these cases. I mentioned about the peace pilgrim also before, isn't it? The same story of the peace pilgrim, that how she was wandering around every day, everything was provided for her necessity. Krishna was providing everything. So she walked like this some 25,000 miles or something. Look into that book. So nobody could give her any trouble. Why? Maitri Karuna Yavacha. Maitri. In one instance, she says that she had to, one night she had no place to sleep. There was a car somewhere and she wanted to sleep in the car, if she could sleep on that night. So it was a taxi. She went to the taxi driver and asked him if she could sleep in the car that night. The taxi driver told her that she could sleep, and she got into the car and slept very well. And the whole night, taxi driver went to look into the car, and he had some bad intentions, but he didn't do anything. Next day morning, when she got out of the car, he went and paid his obeisances to her. And he says to her that something that has happened in the night, that all through the night, a lot of bad thoughts came to me. But every time I came to see you in the car, I could not open the car door, he says, because Maitri Karuna Mevacha, that Maitri Bhavam, what that peace pilgrim, what she has created inside, is so powerful that nobody could do anything. Material nature will arrange her protection, will arrange their protection. That is what it is. So, as long as our false ego is telling us that we have to look after ourselves, and that's where all the problem comes. And if I leave it, everything will go away. But only thing is, Krishna is saying here that Maitri Bhavam, if that is there in everyone, Krishna says that protection comes from Krishna. Even now, Krishna is looking after us. Only thing is, our ahanda, false ego, doesn't accept that. The only thing what we have to leave, this Brahmam inside, that we are looking after ourselves, that has to go. Just like a person was traveling in the train, he had a luggage with him. So when he got into the train, he was carrying the luggage himself on his head. Somebody asked him, why don't you leave the luggage on the floor? He says, the train is carrying so much luggage, at least let me carry this, my own luggage, he said. So similarly, we are doing things in this world. Actually, Krishna is doing everything. But we are thinking that we are doing everything, and we take the responsibility for that. But when we come to know that Krishna is doing everything, then we will automatically, that false ego will move away. This is the only reason why in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, two verses are repeated. If you have noticed, Prakrateye kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimodhatma kartaha nitimanyate. The same words you will see in the third canto appearing. So Vedavyasa Maharshi is so clear about it. He is saying material nature is doing everything. Gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahangara vimodhatma kartaha nitimanyate. Due to false ego, we thinking that we are doing everything. There is no other way, that till this false ego goes away from inside, these qualities will never come. Not by courses, not by seminar, not by training. You can't cultivate them. Once the false ego goes away, all these qualities automatically will come to that person. This is the principle. So, you can see here, when we come to know that Krishna is doing everything, automatically you can see that spurti, that coming out in that, and in through everything, to everyone. Vishwa chakshurada vishwado moho, vishwado bahusta vishwadaspad, sam bahu bhyam dhamadi, sampadatrai, dosha bhumi, janayan devameka. Upanishad says like this. In Upanishads, all these things are spoken, very subtle level. Vishya chakshurada vishwado mukham, vishwado bahusta vishwadaspad, Sambahubhyam dhamadi sampadatrai khosha bhumi janayan deva ekaha. And also, it says in Shedashadra Upanishad, it mentions that everything is Krishna Swarupam in this world. Whatever we are seeing in this world, it's all Krishna's different Swarupam. in everyone sitting as Antaryami, it is Krishna who is looking at us through those eyes. Through two eyes of a person, the Antaryami inside is looking at us through those eyes. When we have no understanding of the Antaryami inside, if we realize this, that Krishna is looking at us. That is why Upanishad, Vishyada Chakshustha, Vishyado Mukho, Vishyado Bahustha, Vishyadaspad. When a person is operating in this world, through the eyes, Antaryami is looking outside. And Antaryami is relating with us. The Krishna who is present within that person is relating with us. And not only that, Antaryami is operating through those hands and Antaryami is moving through those legs. Antaryami is hearing through those ears. Antaryami is tasting through the tongue. Antaryami is speaking through the mouth. If we understand it in this way, other living entities, Upanishad says here, Sa bahubhyam dhamadi sampadaptai kosha bhumi janayan deva meka, and that Antaryami, who is present in everyone and doing all these things, is one. So why it is spoken here? Because this chapter is spoken after the universal form. You remember 11th chapter was universal form. Vishwam is Vishwasmai Nama. If you look into the Vishnu Sahasranam, you will see Vishwasmai Nama. Vishwam is Vishnu. You see, 11th chapter, universal form. What is universal form? Universal form is Vishnu, isn't it? Universal form is Vishnu. It is after that, in this chapter, you can see the same thing Krishna is saying, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam, that Maitri won't develop if I start seeing everyone as different. If I start giving importance to the name and the form of the person, then Maitri Bhavam will never come. It is not possible. Maitri Bhavam is only possible. First, I have to realize who is within me as Antaryami. Once I realize that, I will also realize that the same Antaryami is in another person also. When you realize that, Maitri Bhavam will come. Otherwise, it won't happen. If I start seeing Namarupam, then what will happen? If I see all the names and forms, it will divide and divide and divide and divide. Is it not? I'll see others as based on nationality, race, based on language, based on religion, based on various things. So many things to separate us. But the only thing that is uniting all of us in everything is this Antaryami factor. Antaryami factor. Antaryami is the only thing that we have a relationship with the whole creation. That is what Upanishads are saying to us. That creation, Upanishads' words, if that has to come true first, this Antaryami realization has to happen first. We worship the deity in the temple. We also worship Krishna as Antaryami. Two ways we are worshipping. The deity in the temple has no ability to respond straight away, isn't it? Suppose, for example, a stone, we have formed a carved deity and we kept there. And another part of the stone is on the floor, I am standing on that and worshipping that deity. Because I have given a name and a form to that deity. Now, if these deities can speak and from the deities can react, respond, like we have seen in many instances, how powerful it will be if you can deal with the Antaryami who is operating all the time in us. Imagine that. If deities can speak and deities can interact with the devotee, how powerful will be the interaction with Antaryami inside, who is all the time involved in our daily life, all in every instance, in every living entity. This is how you have to compare both, just to understand that the strength of the Antaryami. We take it that Antaryami principle, we don't bother. We just think that it is something, who knows, we have seen, not seen anything, it is there or not. We take it like that, isn't it? But Krishna has not given us any loophole there. He's telling us that this Antaryami principle is so important, that these qualities in order that have, because here, this false ego inside, Antaryami has to take it out from inside. Antaryami is who is capable of doing that. Because even that false ego, Antaryami is maintaining that inside. So, Vishwasmayi Nama. So, such a person, Krishna is saying, who has realized this, the presence of Antaryami inside, he doesn't have to, again, looking for a friend separately. Looking for a friend separately. Because he is the best friend inside. Krishna, who is present within. Adveshta sarva bhudanam. Why? Maitra karuna mevacham. Karunam. Karuna means karunyam. Karuna means this mercy. Merciful nature. Merciful nature. Actually, karunyam, mercy, is not from the individual. These are all forces in the nature. These are all forces in the nature. Remember that story we talked about the other day, about the tiger or the leopard story. That sometimes you can see that a leopard killed that mother monkey. Monkey mother was pregnant. When the leopard saw that the baby mother was pregnant, didn't do anything and took the and the mother has delivered the baby by then. Took that baby, didn't kill, instead looked after and protected that baby till it grew up. And stood escorting that whole time and provided the food for the baby. Like this is always happened, so many instances like that. Cats, I don't know whether you have observed this, this happened quite often. Sometimes cats have babies, kitten, and then sometimes the mother die. When the mother die, another cat comes and feeds this kitten. Feeds the kitten. Why? Why is it like that? Because this nature, the other one doesn't have the at that time doesn't have the milk in the breast in that cake. But the veterinary doctors, they say that there is called it the pseudo pregnancy and all. They call it some technical name. They give it to that. But it is nothing to do with all that. Actually, the reality is that in the nature, there are certain forces operating like this. That when that babies are born and the mother is dead, then if the baby has to survive, the milk has to come from somewhere. And that milk is provided by another cat. It provides that. So like this, you can, if you keep on looking at the nature, you will see so many instances where nature provides the protection. And that merciful nature of to look after that baby is coming from the, not from the that cat, but it comes from the nature. Prakriti, it comes. Maitra karuna evaja, karunyam. That mercy is like that. Mercy is like that. In all instances in this world, you can see how this karunyam works in this way. So, from this, from this cat, milk is coming in sufficient quantity for that babies to survive at that point. So, you can understand that motherhood is not from the women. It's not coming from the women. It's not coming from the women. Motherhood is actually from the material nature. From the material nature. That mother, universal mother, Janmata or Prakriti in other words, when a child is born, when a baby is born, for the protection of that child, temporarily she manifests in the mother. That's how it happens. When a baby is taking birth, in order that the baby has to be protected and brought up and cared for temporarily, the universal mother, material nature, she manifests through that mother in a personal form and does everything what is necessary to show that affection and love for that child. So, matrutvam, or that motherhood, is actually coming from the prakriti, material nature. So, once this principle is understood, that one understands what motherhood is, that they will easily realize the truth. They will easily realize the truth. So, karunyam or mercy is not something what you do in a consciously. Not done in a consciously. Because one who does not have a false ego, in him, Krishna enters inside. Krishna enters inside to that person and deals with the situation, what is necessary. None of these qualities, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha, none of them belongs to the personality. This is an important point. We are thinking all this is ours. None of them is ours. All these qualities come from the nature to us. Nature gives it to you, provided inside that ego is not there. This is where it flows inside. Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karunaye Vajam. One vyakti or personality cannot cultivate them. It is not possible. If the personality moves away, then you will see these qualities present there, because they are present in the prakriti, in the material nature. And this we have to find it out in the prakriti. How? By giving up the selfishness. Selfishness and ego are very close, isn't it? Selfishness is what ego is. Ego is selfishness, in another name to put it. That selfishness is what is dictating to act in an egoistic way inside. So, actually, when a mother delivers a baby, and that feeling inside that mother, it comes out, which was already in a hidden form inside, which was lying hidden inside that motherhood, it comes out. Therefore, that is the reason why women likes to have children at some is very quickly. And not only that, they also, this feeling comes from inside, because inside that madhurtvam wants to come out from the mother. So, because when a child is born, some purnada, perfection comes within them, within the women. They feel a perfection inside. That purnada is this absence of this motherhood, what is in the nature, which wants to express it through that form, through that person. Material nature wants to express that madhurtvam through through a person. And that is very strong. That is why the women likes to have that perfection quickly. That is why that desire for motherhood comes from that. So therefore, Shastra Upanishads mentions this in a very, very nice way. It says here that there is a perfection after birth for the women, and it comes temporarily for them when the child is born. But instead of giving importance to that perfection, what do? We think, oh, this is my child. And the whole attention, instead of giving to the perfection, we give attention to the child. And that's where everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. Because there, identification starts. And they lose an opportunity for self-realization. You know how they put it in the Upanishads? It says like that even if you have to deliver 10 children, have 10 children, and then after that, make your husband as your son. And that is one of the blessings in the Upanishads. So, it does not mean that you have to have 10 children. That's not what it is saying. What it's saying is that ultimately, towards the husband also, the wife has to feel that motherhood relationship, mother's relationship. Putram dashavhyam adhegni padim egadasham krati, it says. That because that flow of madhurtvam, motherhood, that happens by material nature's arrangements through a person in this world. Temporarily you may take it that it is for the protection of the child, that has come through the person. But in reality, it is an opportunity given to them, given to the women, to realize the truth. That force that is pushing them hard inside to become a mother is coming from the material nature looking for perfection. Upanishad says like this, Putram dashagyam adhegni patim egadasham krati. Even if you have to have 10 children, make the husband as your 11th child and show that feeling. But in all these things, what one has to recognize is this, that affection or love or of mother, what flows through a person is actually karunyam. That is Karunyam, flowing from Krishna. From Krishna it comes. From material nature it comes. So this motherhood is the appearance of this Karunyam. If you want to see the Karunyam in this world, the best place to look for that is in the mother. Karunyam is the being. So even for great personalities, if you look, the Karunyam, that quality in them, is not coming from them. It's not coming from them. It is not in their control either. But actually what's happening is, Krishna is controlling them and take control of the situation and comes out through them. Through great personalities, Krishna comes out in this way, this Karunyam. Every great personality, if you look, self-realized soul, I'm saying, that if you look into their life, you will see they had one unusual compassion for the world, which you wonder where it's coming from. Whereas we are used to looking after ourselves, isn't it? But whereas they are willing to give up everything for others' happiness. And this is coming, Krishna is coming through them, and through them it is expressing. And that is why I'm saying Karunyam also is not in our control. It has to come from the nature. And nature will come when we have taken this ego from inside away. Most of the cases, what happens is, when a mother becomes a mother, instead of recognizing the arrival of this Karunyam from the material nature, we impose everything on the children, all our attachment to the children, and we become more selfish also in that way, not able to see that Karunyam has not. Otherwise, why this bondage has happened between the mother and the child? Mother and the child. It happens in this way. Where is that power coming at that time in the mother's behavior and nature? That sudden care for the child and attachment to the child in such a way, that is material nature's arrangement of Karunyam through coming through that body. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna eva maitri karunyam adveshtam. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitri karunyam. All these things are from the material nature. They don't come from within us. We can't create it inside. It has to come from the nature. And they will get in when the ego goes. You can see also when a woman becomes a mother, naturally she has to tolerate a lot of things to protect the child, isn't it? And that is where a lot of ego has to be sacrificed at that point in order to look after the child. So all that sacrificing nature and protective power, Karunyam, that comes from the mother. From the material nature. Prakriti is providing that strength for her. So here, Karunyam Maitri Bhavam, all that is Krishna. That Karunyam is Krishna. Maitri Bhavam is also Krishna. It's all Krishna.
Tattva Jnanisyal Ishvara Deha Sambarkaha. What it means is then, tattvajnanasyal, when tattvajnanam comes, this knowledge becomes strongly implanted inside, then that person's body is in touch with Krishna. Ishvara sambarkaha. In the Bhashyam, you will see this in the commentary. Tattvajnanad Ishvara deha sambarkaha. That means an ordinary material body will be used by Krishna for achieving something in this world. For example, if a child has to be looked after, Krishna will pump this quality in abundance to that mother's, inside the mother. So mother will be forced to act in that way. And this will be understood, it says, tattvajnana, when tattvam is understood properly. Tattvajnana, Ishwarasya deha sambarkaha. Ishwara comes into contact with the material body or the living entity's body, and he operates through that body at that time. Ishwara sambarkaha. Ishwara sharira sambarkaha. So, Siyad Ishwara. Ishwara. With these qualities, Adveshtam sarvabhudanam maitra karunaye vaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. With all these qualities,
is Ishvara created. Ishvara is created with all these qualities. So Ishvara creates these qualities in a person when he wants to operate through that person. And it comes in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad talks about this. He says, it appears through him and Karunaye Vaja Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. There is no Mamata. Mamata means there is no Mamatvam. Mine is not there. Me and mine, that is Mamatvam, isn't it? Mamata is mine. That's not there. And Ahangaram, me, is not there. Ahangaram is not there. And the attachment mine is also, me and mine is not there. These two things, me and mine, is actually the two representatives of the jivas, ahanda, ahangaram, false ego, ahanda and mamata. When ahanda is gone, mamata is gone, what is left there? When ahanda is gone, then how will he live here in this world? Because actually he doesn't live anymore. Who lives there? Krishna is living there through that body. Krishna is living there through that body. So a very powerful force has taken control of that body, which is Krishna has taken control of that body, and he will use that body for his purpose. That is what happens in all the great personalities. Great, great Mahatmas we call in this world. Actually, what has happened to them was, they have given up their false ego, me and mine. Selfishness has completely gone away from them. At that point, Krishna takes control of them and through them, Krishna operates afterwards. It is at that time what you see, this Karunyam, Maitri, everything. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha. Selfishness goes away, false ego goes away, attachment goes away. Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. Sukham Dukham equal. Why? Because there is nobody who is enjoying the sukham and there is nobody who is hating the dukham inside. Both are the same person. When he has gone from inside, they are equal. That is that it comes. Not that sukham dukham comes, he says, oh, I am going to deal with it in equal level. He won't say like that. It all has already happened inside that person. How it has happened? Because you can see here that the person who is enjoying sukham and the person who is suffering from the dukham, he is not there anymore. Therefore, that ego which was experiencing has gone. So at that time, when sukham comes or dukham comes, you won't know about it. It is sukham or dukham. You won't know about it. It's a subtle thing. If you think you can get it, you'll understand that what it is. That sukham dukham is experienced by the false ego inside. When Krishna is saying here, nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami, isn't it? Nirmamatva means no mamata. Me and mine basically. Nirmamo nirahangara means me and mine. Suppose the me and mine has completely gone away from inside, then Krishna is saying, sukham dukham when it happens, it will be samam. Only then it will be samam. When nirmamam and nirahangaram, when me and mine has gone away, only then it will be samam. Now, so you can see here that you cannot cultivate this quality. It's not something you can study from the books and keep it in the brain. And next time when sukham comes, I'll deal with it equally. Or next time when dukham comes, I'll deal with it equally. You can't, in a planned way, you can't do it. What has to happen is this. That false ego moves away, selfishness goes away, possessiveness goes away, and nirmamatvam, freedom from me and mine, attachment or aversion, and I am the doer, that has gone away from inside. It is completely empty inside. In which case, Krishna's power of these qualities of Ishvara, Kairunyam, this Maitri Bhavam, they starts working through that person. Krishna uses that body for the purpose for what he wants to use that body for. So, and in that situation, if any sukham dukham comes, it will be samam. Because the person who is experiencing sukham and dukham is not there anymore. He has gone. Isn't it? Ahanda, false ego, he has gone. So who is going to experience sukham dukham? That is how it happens. Normally, what do we do? We think all this is a project, isn't it? We have to study and then keep the words in the mind. And when a situation happens, that we have to deal with the situation. And we'll tell others also. Bhagavad Gita says like this. Narmamo nirahangara samadukha sugachari. Prabhu, anything goes wrong in life, you should be equally situated. We will deal with that. That is not how you deal with that. It won't work like that. It has never worked so far, and I'm sure it won't work in the future either. But you can see how when you don't understand that the Bhagavad Gita is telling us certain things in a particular way, these are the, so to say, the implied in that. That every word in the Bhagavad Gita is so structured, particularly when talking about these qualities of a devotee. Nirmamam nirahangara samadukham sukshami. They all have to work together. First, nirmamatvam nirahangaratvam has to come. That means me and mine has to go from inside. When it is empty inside, even if sukha-dukham comes there, the person who is going to experience sukham-dukham has gone. Sukham-dukham as in gone, they will keep coming. But the person who is going through sukham-dukham has gone. See, that is the subtlety of that verse. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami. If you understand that verse in this way, it will give you a little bit strength from proper understanding. Otherwise, it will remain simply theoretical if you take it the other way. Other way means that if you think that, how many qualities Krishna has mentioned there? From tomorrow onwards, I'm going to develop all these qualities in me. I'll be a pure devotee from in a 6 months' time or a year. If I plan it like that, it will not work. Because it has its own way. Krishna has structured it that way. First of all, Krishna says, these qualities will be there in a devotee. He says, this is whom I like. That means, in his bhakti state, he has come so far that naturally selfishness is gone. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer has gone from inside and he is completely surrendered to Krishna. And in that situation, there is no one there who is experiencing sukham and dukham. His Maitri Bhavam is already there in him. Karunyam is already there. Because they all belong to material nature. It starts coming through him. At that time, you can take it that this person is, Krishna is coming through that, operating through that person. So, therefore, he says here, because it is at that time when Krishna takes control of somebody, that is when you see this Karunyam, Maitri Bhavam all coming out through that person. And his selfishness goes away. There is no false ego inside, attachment. Nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami. Because the person who is enjoying the sukham and the person who is hating the distress, that person has gone from there and it has come equal now. It has come equal. So long as this false ego is inside, no matter how much you study Bhagavad Gita, and if you keep saying that in happiness and distress have to be equal, you can keep saying that. But when happiness comes, you will get excited. And similarly, when distress comes, you will get depressed. There is no point in studying Bhagavad Gita about this. Bhagavad Gita cannot help you on that. That's what I'm saying, that even after studying all these things, that's what it's saying, that center we have to know in that where this ahankaram is operating, false ego is operating. And that is the center where it is operating from. And to know that center very well, and when to know that where to get control of that, how to free oneself from that false ego, where it comes up, where it stays, and where it dissolves. If you keep on giving attention to that, they call it as Mula Anveshanam. Anveshanam means inquiring from a very deeper level. If you keep aware like that, in course of time, you will know that this false ego, that is what was causing the problem. And that is where you move away from that identification with the false ego. He will go and dissolve in the same place, as I mentioned, Ahankaram and Ahambodham. Ahankaram has to go and dissolve itself in the Ahambodham, because Ahankaram has come from Ahambodham. Bodham is pure consciousness. From there, the Ahankaram has come, the false ego has come. So, Ramachandra says this to Vasishtha. In the Yoga Vasishtham, you will see this. Ramachandra says to Ahankara Vashad Abad, Ahankara Durabhaya, Ahankara Vashad Iha, Na Ahankara Paro Ribuhu. It's a famous statement in the Yoga Vasishtham. He says, Ramachandra says to him, Ahankara Vashad Abad, all problems in this world we have is from Ahankaram, false ego. All problems come from Ahankara Duradaya. All desires also comes from this Ahankaram only. Ahankara Vashadiha. There is no other problem in this world except the false ego. Na Ahankara Parivaripuhu. Ahankaram is our greatest enemy in this world. This false ego is our greatest enemy in this world. That's why Krishna is saying there, Nirmamo Nirahangaraha. Everything, nothing is mine. And in bhakti process, first thing is this attachment goes. In bhakti process, first goes the attachment. It is after that the false ego goes. That is our bhakti process. In bhakti process, first attachment goes and then the false ego goes. Because ahanda, false ego, even if the attachment goes away, in the mood of goodness, it will stay in a person for some time. For some time. Because in bhakti process. But attachment, in the beginning, it will leave. Attachment goes away. Nothing is mine. Everything is Krishna's. And let everybody enjoy what Krishna has got. So, that is why in the devotee's state, devotee consciousness, one will think like this. When devotee sees so many other devotees, these things, or they are all devotees. They are all devotees. This feeling will come to them. That Maitri Bhavam, friendships like that. So Maitri Bhavam is for the devotees. Maitri Bhavam is for the devotees. So, but you will notice a big difference here. In the Jnana Margam, you go alone. You always go alone. In the Bhakti Margam, you go with everybody. There is a difference like that. In the Bhakti Margam, Maitri Bhavam is important. Like you can see, when Bhakti process, when it's executed, you sing together, you chant together, you discuss Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam together. So Bhakti process is always together. In Jnana Margam, it's always alone. Everything is done alone. That is why in Jnana Margam, you go into solitude. To want to do everything. It's not because of selfishness that it's happening. The process demands that from us. Naturally, you'll be forced to go like that. If you are inclined in that process towards the realization through knowledge, your way of dealing with the world will be such that you want that solitude and freedom from the crowd. You want. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Viviktam Desha Sevitam Aratir Jana Samsadi. That is a verse in the 13th chapter somewhere. So Vivikta Desha Sevitam Aratir Jana Samsadi. That want to be alone, and because in Jnana Margam that is important. In Bhakti Margam, and he will go like to be in solitude alone, and if he does that, it is auspicious for the rest of the world. But for the devotee, he wants all the time people, everybody together. Because he wants somebody to talk to about Krishna. And therefore, we require Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavatam. Chanting the holy name, japam, kirtanam, all these things and association. You will see this machitta in the Bhagavad Gita. You will see in the 10th chapter when Krishna talks about bhakti. He says about a devotee, machitta madgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Kathayandaschamam nitya tushyanti jaramanti cha. There is a verse. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Chapter 10, verse 9. Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam. Kathayandaschamam nityam tushyanti jaramanti cha. That is devotee's life. Devotee is like that. And in the Bhagavatam also, you will see in the 11th canto how Krishna mentions that. Krishna says there that the smarandam smarayandascha mita akhavagaharam harim. He says there. 11th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 31. Krishna is saying there that Smaranda smarayandascha mithokaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya vibratyat pulagam tanyam. Then while crossing over Maya, he says, smaranda smarayandascha mithokaugaharam harim, always remembering and reminding others about Krishna. And in that way, he will become Krishna conscious as such, bhaktya sanjadaya bhaktya. From that bhakti will develop. Vibratyut pulagam tanim. And he says because of that he will cross the maya in that way and he will be so absorbed in the thing, remembering Krishna, and his body gets completely affected by that. Vibratyut pulagam tanim. We'll stop for a few minutes. It's got a bit late. 4:30. See, in about 15 minutes, we'll continue.
Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitrakarunayeva cha nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma dradanishchaya mai arpidamano buddhir yomal bhakta same priyaha.
We are looking at those verses, isn't it? So Krishna is saying that adveshta sarvabhudanam one maitra karuna evacha, maitri and karuna. And from there, nirmamo nirahangaraha. And from there, samadukha sukhakshami. So all these qualities to happen, first thing we have to talk to Antaryami inside, who is controlling everything within us. These things won't happen till it is approved from there, inside. Krishna is present within the heart. The super soul concept is just not that it's a very... the super soul concept is... We have to call it as a concept in the sense. Normally what we will think, Krishna is present there in the Golokam. Krishna is present within my body. And Krishna is present outside, we see in the particular deity form. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyade. From there, normally we will tend to think like that, isn't it? That Krishna is there, Krishna is here, and Krishna is outside. Actually, Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat, in three ways we will think like that. But what we have to understand that is that Krishna is present everywhere. Particularly as Antaryami, his individual life he is controlling. In every individual's case. So all these good things, what Krishna has spoken about in a devotee, unless the Antaryami gives the approval, it won't happen. It's Antaryami who does all that. Maitri, Kairunyam, all these things is released according to the our qualifications. When Jiva Ahanda gives way, Antaryami steps in and releases everything. This is how it happens. When the false ego, Jiva Handa, moves away, Antaryami inside steps in and then releases these qualities from within. Not by training, not by anything else. That's the important point. When you read the book like this and start taking things that everything is training and everything is courses, then you will take it in a different way. But it is to be understood in this way only, and that's the only way it will work. Krishna's presence inside as the super soul, as Antaryami, how much he controls our bhakti, our development in the process of bhakti. That's the most important thing. In the Upanishads, what they say is, Tvam stri pumanasi, Tvam kumara utava kumari, Tvam jirno dandena vanchasi, Tvam jado bhavasi vishyado mukham. Tvam stri pumanasi. In the form of woman walking around in this world is you, addressing Krishna. That is, Krishna is walking around in all these different bodies. Tvam kumaraha, you are the young boy. Utava kumari, you are the young girl. Tvam jirno dandena vachasi, old man walking with the stick in the hand, it's also you. Nobody else than you. It's Krishna who is walking in that form, in that body, in the old person's body. Tvam jado bhavasi vishado mukha. Wherever you look in this world, it's only Krishna who is present everywhere. There's nobody else. This comes, this realization comes after we have realized our own Antaryami first. When we realize your own Antaryami, Antaryami is in that realization has to happen first. This will take time. It's not going to happen overnight. It will take a long time. But once that happens, this Upanishad statement will come true. That is how this Upanishad says here, that Tvam stri pumanasi, Tvam kumara utava kumari, Tvam jirno dandena vanchasi, Tvam jado bhavasi vishyado mukaha, Neelaha padango harido lohida, Akshadi kum shradhavasamudraha. So, all forms of colors and different forms of birds, animals, wherever you are feeling attraction, you will immediately start realizing it is Krishna who is present there in that. So, that is another step in that self-realization process, what happens. So, Smaran Machita Malgada Prana, Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? The devotee who has the two different processes, where the difference between Jnanamargam and Bhakti Margam is. In Jnanamargam, you want to be alone, left to yourself. Because why? You want to spend all your time in realization, analyzing the truth inside. In Bhakti Margam, you are with the devotees all the time. Why? There, this process is involved. What is that? Machita malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandaschamam nitya tushyanti charamanti cha. Always talking to each other with devotees about Krishna. About Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's glories, Krishna's transcendental qualities, knowledge of Krishna. That is what is discussed between the devotees. Devotees discuss among themselves about Krishna. And Krishna's instructions, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, how to understand that on board, how to take it on board. All these issues are discussed among the association of devotees. That is why it says, Machitta Malgada Prana Bodhayanda Parasparam, fully conscious of Krishna all the time. Kathayandaschamam Nitya Tushyanti Charamandija. They always want to talk about Krishna, Krishna's activities, and they absorb in that. Tushyanti Charamandija. They absorb in that very well. And smaranda smarayandascha mita akoga harim thanam. So these are all interesting about bhakti. And when mamata and ahanda, that means me and mine, once that has gone, then samadukha sukhachami. Sukham dukham will not is equal then. When it says equal, it's not equal like a mathematical equation. It means that it won't have any effect on the person anymore, because the person who has experienced sukham dukham has gone. Jiva, false ego, he has left. He has left. So, before this realization, what do we do? Before this realization comes, what happens? We'll go to the temple, and if something goes wrong in life, we'll blame Krishna. And something good happens, we'll say, Krishna has been responding to my prayers, we'll say. We are dealing right way. We got it right this time. We'll say like that. So, but those things won't happen even this situation happens, when this state comes. So sometimes people say, I've done so many things, I've chanted the holy name, I've studied Srimad Bhagavatam, and why did all these things happen like this when things go wrong in life? Then we will say, oh, in Kali, all these things can happen, Prabhu. Kali Yugam is like that. We will say, find an answer through Kali Yugam. We'll take it. So, and then we will also think that when a little distress comes, only then you will notice that our kartrutvam, it puts its head out, that it will come out like that. And we would have already would have calculated how much I have chanted, how many years I have chanted, how many Ekadashis I have fasted, how many temples I have visited, how much Harinams I have done. So many things you would have thought in your mind, all these things, how much Bhagavatam I have read. And all this account will start coming out when the distress comes. When the distress comes, you will say to Krishna, I have done all these things for you. Why are you doing this to me? This will come out from inside. Samadhu, and then you'll say this headache, samadukha sukhakshami, is also a sukham or dukham, whatever happens. What Krishna, devotee's courage is that, dhirada. Dhirada means that devotee's courage is, in the surrender he has the courage. When all these things happen, devotee doesn't get disturbed. Why? Because he has surrendered to Krishna. And if he is able to accept it that way, that shows he is a courageous devotee. He is very heroic in nature. So, the devotee says that the moment you have taken control of me, from that day, I am yours. And one devotee said, whatever you want to do with me, whatever you want to do through me, you can do that. Whether you want to make me the king or the pauper, or engage in anything else. Yad yad bhavyam bhagavadu sa sa purva karmani rupam. According to my karma, you will engage me in whatever way I have meant to act in this world. That is why, if you look into Kulashekara Alvar's Mugundamala, you will see there, he says, Tol brithya paricharaka brithya 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 stya brithya idimam smara lokanatha. Krishna is saying, he is saying to Krishna, Tol brithya paricharaka brithya 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 stya brithya idimam smara lokanatha. He says to Krishna that you make me as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. 8 times he says there. That brityasya brittya brittya idimam smara loganatha. That let me be like that, he says. That is devotee. Surrendering to Krishna's will under all circumstances. A king is speaking like this. Like Muchukunda spoke, Kulashekara Alvar is saying like this. So, whatever happiness or distress comes, you can give it to me. I have no complaint. So, from a devotee's platform, this is how he acquires this quality. He acquires this quality in this way, in a devotee's life. Samadukha Sugakshami. Samadukha Sugakshami. Now, so far, we have seen this one verse. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugakshami. And we also seen Sandushta Sadadam Yogi as Altma Dhrida Nishchaya Mayarpita Manobuddhir Yomal Bhakta Same Priya. So let's look at that verses. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Yevacha Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sukakshami. Sandushta Sadadam Yogi Yadalma Dhrida Nishchaya May Arpita Manobuddhir Yomal Bhakta Same Priya. Krishna is talking about the devotee's symptoms here. And all these symptoms are not external. They are all internal. Internal symptoms. Andariyam. Andariyam means internal symptoms. Not the external ones. In other words, before the sun rises, you will see in the sky the light, isn't it? Suryodayam, before Surya rise, sun comes out, you can already see his arrival in the sky. The brightness of the sun is already there, isn't it? Similarly, prior to self-realization happens, these qualities what Krishna has spoken, you will start seeing in a person. You see? This quality, what Krishna has spoken in these two verses, you will start seeing these qualities in a person prior to self-realization. That is how it happens. So, in that, first thing what Krishna said was, first thing, Adveshta. Dvesham will go from inside. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam. Even if one has a little bit, a trace of hate or hate or anger towards anyone, then even if you may be chanting the holy name, engage in kirtanam, sankirtanam, and meditation, or putting the tilak on and shikha and dhoti and all that, if all that is thing is there, Krishna won't allow. Krishna won't allow. That is, it is because Krishna, he says, he's actually, he is actually making fool of me. Krishna is saying about a devotee, if he has got a little bit of a trace of hate inside, or any kind of anger or hate towards other living entity, well, not only devotees, even to other living entities. Because Krishna uses the word sarva bhudhanam. Imagine that. That is what is expected from us. Sarva bhudhanam adveshtaha. From this you can imagine what a long way we have to travel. How far away we are from the what Krishna's standard is. Krishna is saying adveshta sarva bhudhanam. That unless even a trace of dvesham, hate inside, against any other living entity is there inside, even if you chant the holy name, even if you do the all spiritual austerities, penances, ekadashi, harinam, bhagavadam, anything what you do, Krishna is saying, actually that person is making a fool of me. Kapila Vasa says this to Devahuti Devi in the third canto of Bhagavatam in the 29th chapter. You can look. Kurude Archa Vidambanam. That's what he says. Kurude Archa Vidambanam. We made spiritual institution like a company. And we deal with each other purely on the basis of I don't know how to put it. Actually, everyone looking at each other from their position, what they hold, the dress what they wear, the authority they hold in the institution, these are the things we value when we walk into an institution. Krishna is saying, all of them, I damn care about any of those things. What matters to me, adveshta sarva bhudanam, if this does not come from the top level, where is it going to come from? This is the question. If these qualities are not coming from the top level, top leaders, how is it going to come from the bottom level? What you find, I don't know. What I have seen is that institution creates such a situation that automatically you are thinking in terms of position, the place, the power he holds, and the popularity he holds. These are the things that is controlling the spiritual life of people, not these verses what Krishna has spoken. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karunaye vacham. Look at what Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi. Kapila Maharshi says there that Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma vastidas sada tam avajnyayam matya kurude archa vidambanam. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu, I am present in everybody. Krishna is saying, aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastidas sada, all the time as their soul, it is me who is present in everyone. Kapila Vasa says to Devahuti Devi, aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastita sada, and tam avajnyayamam martya, he ignores that, the so-called devotee, he ignores that, and kurude archa vidambanam, and he is busy worshipping me in my form standing in the temple. That's what he is saying here. And he says here, he simply engages in the deity worship without knowing this, that it's me who is present in all the bhutam, isn't it? All living entity. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu. Nobody is excluded there. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu Bhudalma avasthita sada, as Alma in all Bhudam sada, all the time. Bhudalma avasthita sada, tam avajnaya ma marthya. The so-called person, avajnaya, avajnaya means he completely ignores that. Avajnaya, avajnaya means ignored in a disgusting way. Leaving everyone, or nobody is important in this. Avajnaya, avajnaya ma marthya kurute, what he does, archa vidambanam. He is archana. He worships me in the deity, in that stone, and thinking that he is making progress in spiritual life. Very important message, huh? That one who ignores my presence in all other living entities, leaving behind that, and out of his foolishness, simply worships the deity, he is in that category. He is in that category. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avasthita sada tam avajnayamam martya kurude archa vidambanam. Kurude archa vidambanam. This is a great message to all of us to take note of. So, even if we have a slightest trace of anger or hate inside, you can do whatever you want outside, Krishna says, you will never have bhakti. You will never have bhakti inside. Because bhakti is this, what? Adveshta sarvabhudanam, maitra karunaye vacham. Not only dvesham, hate should not be there, but instead you should have maitri towards them. Maitri. Not only dvesham must go, but maitri should be there. Sarvatra maitri bhavam. And vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Bahunam janmanam ande, yanavan mam prabhadyate. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahalma sudurlabhaha. So Vasudeva sarvamiti is this. What else is Vasudeva sarvamiti? This is what Vasudeva sarvamiti. Aham, as he says there, the sarvabhudeshu avasthita, that Vasudeva, Krishna is present in all the living entity. Recognizing that, and without any trace of hate or ego, completely developing a maitri bhavam towards other living entities, Krishna says, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. We have thought something else as bhakti. Completely different than all these things. We make a lot of noise about bhakti, but ultimately end up somewhere else. The sad thing is that this very principle, what Krishna has spoken, till these qualities have not developed, self-realization is not going to happen, number one. And secondly, with all these ignoring them and developing a tradition of our own, we may be doing a lot of things. Krishna says, actually they are insulting me. See, they are insulting me. Because this is the thing which is demanded from bhakti. Bhakti means all these things, not the other things. Bhakti is nothing but surrender and recognizing Krishna's presence in other living entities. That is bhakti. So, so only for a devotee, after many, many lifetimes, anega janma samsiddhaha, and many, many lifetimes, after that when he becomes matured completely, only then he comes to this realization, what? Vasudeva sarvamiti. Vasudeva sarvamiti. This is the siddhantam of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita siddhantam is like that. So, without this siddhantam properly understanding, if we develop some different understanding of all these things, you will find that you will start hating another religion, another way. This is all implied in that. You see, Bhagavad Gita is able to stand above all other scriptures in the world because of this. It does not say that you have to hate anybody. On the other hand, you have to have that maitri bhavam towards every living entity. Why? Krishna is present in all of them. Everything is included there. Everything is included. You can't afford to develop any trace of hate towards any living entity in this world, no matter in which form, which name, which form, which body they present themselves. Because there, the importance is given to the presence of Krishna, not to the body. Not to the body. And therefore, if you start developing any siddhantam, what will happen is that only mine is right, others are wrong. If that way the thoughts comes, for example, any Siddhantam, Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vichishtadvaitam, various Siddhantams are there. But if you get stuck in one Siddhantam, you will start hating the other Siddhantam. That problem also will happen. Say for example, when you develop too much attachment to Advaitam, you will feel actually resentment towards Dvaitam or similarly to Vishishtadvaitam. All these things can happen. So, similarly, if you are attached to Dvaitam or Vishishtadvaitam, you will have a resentment towards Advaitam also. So, similarly, if you have attachment to Shaiva Siddhantam, you may not like the Vaishnava Siddhantam. Or if you are attached too much to Vaishnava Siddhantam, you may develop a resentment towards the Shaiva Siddhantam also. So, in this way, similarly, if you are very much attached to the male form, then you have a resentment towards the female form. And similarly, if you are a female form, attachment to that form, then you'll be fighting for feminism and women's liberation and all that. It'll go in that direction also. So, what it means is that, and you will feel a kind of resentment towards men. So, similarly, if you are in the human form, you may feel a kind of looking down upon the animals. And here, Krishna is saying here, that when all these differences goes away, from inside, udaram andaram kurude adada sabhayam bhavati, and even there is a slight difference between one living entity to another, there will be fear inside. Fear means what? Fear comes from dvaidam. Dvaidiya abhinivesha tasyal ishat apedasya viparyayo smriti. When Krishna's presence is not recognized in other living entities, we will have to live in fear all the time. In other words, the only answer to the solution to the problem is that till we come to understand that Krishna is present in all the living entities, we will continue to exist in fear all the time. All the time. There is no escape from that. That it is from that fear, lust, anger, greed, and illusion, pride, all these things. This is all another aspects of that fear. But fear means not just direct fear, because whatever that is disturbing that shanti inside, all that is fear. Because you can see here, one who has no siddhantam, when discussing about, there is a book called Jivan Mukta Lahari. Acharya Swami wrote about a liberated soul, his nature. He says there, Jivan Mukta state, how he will be, in that he says there, he can accept any situation, one who is liberated in this world. When he is liberated within this world, he won't feel fear from anywhere, fear from any side. Because as far as he is concerned, because he is not does not belong to any particular Siddhantam, or he does not belong to, false ego is not operating anymore within. Sometimes we get trapped in all these things in spiritual life. You can notice yourself. Suddenly we will say to everyone, I am a Vaishnava. I won't accept anybody else. You started rejecting. Already you have started rejecting people there. Or I am a Shaiva. Or I am a Hindu. Or I am a Christian. I am a Muslim. In this way, what is happening? Because of that position, you always have the fear inside. That's where it's coming from. Because I am a Vaishnava, somebody else is against me. In order to come to that liberated state, you have to transcend all these things. Vaishnavam, Shaivam, or Advaitam, Dvaitam, all kinds of Siddhantam. Those who have gone beyond than that, they have no fear anywhere. In all circumstances, they can get along with the situation. They won't feel any difficulty. That is that state Krishna is saying there, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Otherwise it makes no sense. Suppose you say to others that, look, I am Krishna's devotee. That is why Vasudeva, that is not what it means. Then what about those who are not Krishna's devotees? What should we do with them? Kill them all, is it? Is that what we're supposed to do? That's not what Krishna is saying there. Completely from the spiritual position Krishna is speaking. Bahunam Janmanamande Yanavanmam Prabhadyade Vasudeva Sarvamiti means total realization of the soul within everyone. That is what it means. Not saying that, or telling everyone, look, everything is Krishna, or everything is not Shiva, it's Krishna. Or somebody says, no, no, the other people will tell you that, oh, everything is Jesus. No, no, we'll have to fight and decide who is Krishna or Jesus. That's not how it is. Practically, you can see that how misunderstood Bhagavad Gita can be sometimes. Unless we transcend all these, all our designations at the end, is it not? Designations based on the body. Until we transcend them, go beyond them, that Jivan Mukta state is not possible. In that Jivan Mukta state, these things have no value anymore. So, therefore, because why? False ego has gone away from inside. That is the credit. Ahankaram has gone away from inside. For him, there is no religion after that. No Hindu, no Christian, no Muslim. All that is before that. To organize in this world, vyavaharam, you take all these identities, isn't it? Otherwise, what benefit am I going to get if I say I'm a Hindu or a Christian? What does it matter? How does it help me? So these are in the identification with the body, and when we are conditioned, these identities remain. But in the liberated state, Jivan Mukta Lahari says that because false ego is the one identifying with everything. Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Vaishnava, Shaivam, or any other thing, whatever, so many available in this world to identify with, isn't it? All identification, false ego is doing that. And when the ahankaram is that false ego, when that ahankaram goes away, there is no more identification with anything in this world. The result is that inside, what he sees is Krishna inside, what he sees in everybody else is also Krishna. That is what Krishna is saying there. Adveshtas, only in that state, Adveshta Sarvabhudanam is possible. And Maitri. Adveshta must be there, Maitri must be there. Not only Dvesha must go, Maitri must come in. These are qualifications of a personality. When you see these qualities in someone, you can say that there is bhakti. There is bhakti inside. And that happens prior to self-realization. See how specific Bhagavad Gita is on these things. There's nowhere else you will find such a clear-cut understanding of spiritual life, like the way Bhagavad Gita has given us. Nobody will be able to argue against this, can they? Whether he's a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian. If he has if he's not biased or bound by his body, if he is genuinely looking for self-realization, he has to accept this Krishna statement. He has no choice there because it's so open and straight about the truth. Adveshta Sarvabhudanam. Dvesham must go from inside. Maitri must come in to all living entities. Sarvabhudanam, Krishna is saying there. And that can only happen at that stage. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Because you have recognized it is the soul that matters inside. Krishna is present inside. You can call it as Krishna or some other name, whatever you like. But it is that Brahman, Atma. What is inside, who as Antaryami controls this life, and through that Antaryami's control, we come to this understanding. Adveshta Sarabodhana Maitra Karana Yamacha. Such a person is the one whom Krishna calls it as Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Not that one, so people are misunderstanding. They say, if I have taken Bhagavad Gita and started reading, or I started following four regulative principles or chanting or 16 rounds, does not mean that Vasudeva Sarvamiti will happen to you. May not happen. Vasudeva Sarvamiti will only happen if these qualities of bhakti, what Krishna has spoken, comes to us. Only then Vasudeva Sarvamiti will happen. By chanting 16 rounds, Vasudeva Sarvamiti won't happen. That is a sadhana. That is a sadhana we have to do. But the knowledge part of it is this, what is spoken in this chapter. In this chapter. So, such a person, how will he be? If he meets with a materialist, he will talk to him about material topics. He won't be disturbed over that. If he sees a great devotee, he will discuss bhakti with him. And if he meets a Vaishnava devotee, he will discuss Vaishnavam with him. If he is a devotee of Lord Shiva, he will discuss Shaivam with him. And similarly, any other worshippers of any other form, Ganesh or Kartikeya or Devi, whatever form they worship, he will not be disturbed over that. He will not be disturbed. Oh, he is worshipping Ganesh, he is lower than me. He is worshipping Shiva, he is lower than me. And like that, if you start creating that understanding, that is a very, very lower level of understanding. If you start understanding things like that. But proper understanding in all these situations, not to feel disturbed over this. Because why? Because proper bhakti has come to him. Adveshta sarvabhudhanam. And not only that, maitra karunaye vacham. That same maitri towards all living entities. So here, Krishna is saying here that why now? Why is he like that? Because he has no personality anymore in him. His ego is gone. That personality has gone away. So for him, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. If he goes to a temple where some other deities worship, he will say Krishna is sitting there in that form. If he is a Krishna's devotee, he will say Krishna is sitting in that form in this temple. Krishna is sitting in another form in another temple. In that way, the realization will be such that he will see that presence of the same truth in every form what is present in this world. So, this Siddhantam, all these Siddhantams what we discuss, isn't it? All Siddhantam, for example, Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Shuddhadvaitam, Kevaladvaitam, Dvaitam, Achindya Bheda Bhedam, they are all Siddhantams. And similarly, we have all the Sampradayas also, isn't it? Different Sampradayam, Ramanuja Sampradayam, Vaishnava Sampradayam, Shaiva Sampradayam, Nilakantha Sampradayam, so many Sampradayams exist in this world. So all these are there because in order that you have to start with sadhana, you need a process. That's why all these Sampradayams have come into existence. But if you simply hold on to this Sampradayam and thinking that this is everything, pride will develop inside. That will be the result. What's one of the difficulties with this Sampradayam? Sampradayams also causes sometimes problems. Sampradayam is always not so easy. When you get stuck in Sampradayam thinking, Sampradayam is there only to develop a sadhana process, to follow a particular sadhana process. Sampradayam has come into existence. So, but if you start thinking that my Abhimanam, pride comes there also. It's my Sampradayam is better than your Sampradayam. If you start thinking like that, then Ahankaram, false ego will come and the result of that will be Dvesham. Hate will develop inside. Maitri Bhavam is not possible then. So how is that possible to have that Maitri Bhavam towards everyone? Because when you see one person, you see he is different from the another person. So whatever it is, wherever you have attachment, whether it is based on the Sampradayam or your Varnam or your Ashramam, whatever it is, in Vyavaharam you will see all these kind of things. Wherever we have attachment, even if it may be your own Sampradayam, for example, suppose I am attached to one particular Sampradayam, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradayam. When I am traveling, if I see someone with a similar tilak and a similar shikha, a similar dhoti, I will have naturally an attachment there. In that process, I will start thinking somebody else following some other process is against me. I will have a dvesham will develop in a natural way within. So if these things are taken importance, you can take it that it is on a very, very, very preliminary level, understanding of Krishna consciousness. Very, very preliminary level that is. Getting attracted to the similar dress, similar haircut or similar shikha or we'll start thinking, oh, his shikha is exactly like mine, so we belong to the same Sampradayam. All this kind of misunderstanding will come from that. But that is in a very base level, you can say that. But the problem with that is that when you are identifying and relating with that in that way, when you see somebody is not in that Sampradayam, there will be naturally in a little bit of slight trace of unhappiness can develop within. So you can see all this in the Vyavaharam also. Wherever we have attachment, this is important thing. Wherever we have attachment, whenever you see something different from that, you will have a little hate towards that. That's how it works. Suppose we have attachment to one particular sampradayam or one particular way of dressing, particular following a particular process. Anything that is different from that, because I have attachment there, I'll have a slight hate towards the others. It will develop in a natural way. A distance at least you will feel from the others. That you cannot say is Maitri. You cannot have Maitri Bhavam at that time. Because you will feel a distance from the others because of your attachment in one sampradayam. So that difference, which is called Bhedam, that difference will come at that time. But Krishna is saying here, one who does not have that difference, he is a devotee. Where does he say? In the 11th canto, if you look. In the second chapter, 45th verse. If you look how Krishna says that. 11th canto, second chapter, 45th verse. Krishna is saying there that... Hari Maharshi started 45th verse. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Altmana Bhudani Bhagavati Altma Esha Bhagavado Tama. That is the 45th verse. And then from then onwards, Hari is talking about the nature of a devotee in the topmost level, topmost platform, how he will be. Isn't it? He's talking about that. And he keeps on saying various things. And if you look into the verse 50, he says there, Na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhava vasudeva iga nilaya savai bhagavadottamam. Verse 50. So, in who, Na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhava. In one whose mind there is no desires, or he is not working in this world based on his desires, or who has no vasanas inside, all vasanas have got been burned away, and that person who has completely taken Krishna shelter, he is a pure devotee. A pure devotee's qualifications, he is talking about that. Na yasya na kama karma bijanam yasya chedasi sambhava vasudevaiga nilaya savai bhagavadottama, he says. Then, na yasya janma karma abhyam na varnashrama jadibi sajjadesmin aham bhavo dehe vaisahare priyam. So, na yasya janma karma abhyam na varnashrama jadibi. One who does not think about his birth, where he was born or where somebody else is born, and due to that, not differentiating anybody because of birth or because of their other karma, what they are performing in this world. Similarly, not looking at others through varnashrama dharma. One has to go beyond all these things to come to a pure devotee state. That's what Hari is saying there. We have to free ourselves from the grip of varnashrama dharma, from the grip of birth, from the grip of austerities, and then aniloma pradilom. Sajjadesmin aham bhavo varnashrama jadibi. Jadi means caste or whatever that creation, what to talk about. Sajjadesmin aham bhavo dehe vaisa hare priya. A devotee who has transcended all these things, he is dear to me, Krishna is saying here. Then he says, Na yasya swapara iti viteshu almaniva abhida sarva bhuda samashanda savai bhagavadottamam. Then Na yasya swaha paraha. He does not think that all the wealth in this world has his wealth or somebody else's wealth. It is belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna's wealth. Everything is Krishna's wealth. Viteshu alpani va bhida. That mine and yours, that thought has gone away from him. It's mine or it's yours. That has gone away from him. Then what else? Sarva bhuda samashanda. He is all living entities samam, equality. Shandaha, he is in Shandi always. Such a person is Bhagavadottama, first class devotee, pure devotee. Krishna is saying there like that, isn't it? Krishna is saying like that. So, that's what it is. So this is how you can see the very qualities Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, very thing Hari is talking to King Nimi also, as far as a devotee is concerned. If you take both seriously, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita seriously, you can see there is no difference between the two. Exactly the same thing Hari is talking to King Nimi, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. So we'll stop there. Continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.